For the thousands in attendance and the millions watching around the world.
This is the main event.
Dildo Corn is alive
and kicking.
Come on over here, I'll headbutt your ass a couple times if you know what I'm saying.
This brother breaking off a 40-yard run. This brother,
come on, zip it.
I hope I didn't piss off Jesus.
You call that a penalty?
Who's number one?
It's the LA Clippers.
Boom! Shut up! You're saying it wrong, people.
I would get him pregnant.
That
just called in and hangs up, you motherfucker. That fucking pissed me off.
Ari, are you in the shower now?
Totally in the shower.
Yeah, dude.
He's not a cokehead.
You mean James?
Stupid idiot.
You're a stupid idiot for getting so fucking uptight over fucking nothing.
You're clearly lying.
You're clearly just
lying. Why would I lie?
For attention.
Why would I lie?
What?
I don't need attention.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't. You're a comic.
Sports, everybody, welcome back. We got a fun, explosive episode, a lot of fun stories to get into. Super excited. Joining us from New York is the one and only Ari Shaffir.
Thank you. Can you see us now, Sam?
Yeah, I totally can.
Hell yeah.
You look great, dude. You look great. And join us from the Lesbian Center in Indiana, our good friend Jason Tebow.
In Little Oregon.
Little Oregon. And join me as the Mexican, everybody's favorite Mexican, Frank, and I'm here too. So, lot of stuff to get into. What do you got?
Wait, before we start, write down what we did right here so we can get it again next week.
What do you
mean? The minute we get a call, I think one of us is getting popped off. I could be wrong.
Yes, but so far it's looking good.
Check out our sponsors. We can all see each other.
BetDSI.com. Go to BetDSI. Use Punch Drunk and get $10 betting cash. Also go to Caveman Coffee. CavemanCoffee.com. Use Punch Drunk Sports. 10% off. And thank you for using our Amazon links. I got a check, guys. I'm going to send you some money this week. So we'll get
Hell yeah. It. Dude, how'd you know? I love money.
Love money.
Yeah, I've heard that. You love money the way fucking Tebow loves dysfunctional pussy. Right?
I don't even know what that means.
Maybe. No, okay. I was just throwing it out there. Where dates out of the gates? Where are we gonna be?
I got a storytelling show June 30th at the Stand.
Sweet.
And the DC Improv in July. Check AriTheGreat.com for tickets.
All right, Tebow.
Nice. I will be back at the Chicago Laugh Factory.
How was it?
Great, dude. It was so fucking fun. Great crowd.
I want to talk about that too. I got something that I want to complain about once we do our dates about James.
June 27th, I'll be the Chicago Laugh Factory. That'll be my last performance in Chicago, so come out.
Yeah,
that's a Saturday.
Is that your farewell show to your old hood? Are you
that
saying
will be my farewell show to my old hood, and I will be back in L.A. July 7th.
Awesome! Yay! We're glad to have you back, Tebow. This weekend, I am at Off the Hook Comedy Club in Naples, Florida. It's a brand new club, and I'm going to be out there with Captain Brian. Very excited. Come get some. I am going to be in China the following week, so I will not be here.
You're going to China too?
Yep.
Where are you going?
Shanghai.
I'll tell you where he's definitely going that you didn't go, inside of a boy's asshole and mouth.
Jesus. I'm not going to say no to that. It might happen. When in China, be Chinese. That's what my grandpa used to tell me.
Really? Why did your grandfather say that to you?
Oh, God, I thought we were going to get... Dude, you really crush your nuts. Why do you love to sit like that, Ari?
Because he's got that... He's like... Dude, for Ari to sit on his balls like that, it's like being on a beanbag chair.
Yeah, it's so weird. I want to go below you and just start boxing. Dude.
Like that lady? Yeah. Is that a video?
Oh, yeah. That's really...
You just hear the guy going,
And he just loves it. It's so weird. It's so weird. I want to get into something. We had a great show last week, and everybody really enjoyed it. We appreciate both the positive and negative comments about last week's show. One thing I want to get into is James going on our Twitter feed. Oh, yeah. Where are you going to be?
Oh, the roast battle.
Roast battle. We'll get in the roast battle, too. James going on our Twitter feed and apologizing to everybody for our phone calls we took. Tell him we're really sorry if we were disrespectful. I'm a kind of upset with James right now for a couple reasons. One, I'm really upset is that, and I love all of our friends who are on the show, and I'm very thankful that Ari and a bunch of people.
Take that shit down. Don't apologize for what we do.
A bunch of people put out tweets about me for in Calgary, and I'm very thankful for it. One of them was Bert Kreischer, and I'm so thankful, and I love Bert, and I support everything you do. But, like, James is a and I said, Ari, I said you too.
Okay, thanks.
I appreciate it. But one thing James is James is a star fucker, right? And, you know, it's like Tebow shown Friday at the Chicago. I saw one tweet about that. But I saw 90 tweets about Bert Kreischer's TV show. And I have no problem with us tweeting for our friends. I like to help our friends. But Tebow is on the fucking show. And there should be a million tweets about his show. Because, you know, Tebow's back in the saddle, kicking some ass. And we should tweet about it. Am I wrong on that?
A little bit. Let me explain to you why.
Okay.
Go for it.
A TV show is not nearly the same thing as a live show. TV show's massive, and if it gets going, you know, Bert Kreischer, it'll lead to way more things.
I have no problem with that.
You can't compare them at the same
thing. Already said that. But this is Tebow's podcast.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And he should be tweeting the fuck out of Tebow's appearances. That's the whole point of the Twitter feed is, hey, what's going on with the show? Here's where you can see us. And like I said, tweet the shit out of fucking all of our boys' shows. Yours, Al's, Jeff Dye's.
Well, when you say tweet the fuck out of it, it means like one tweet about a show. Like, hey,
no, I don't mind if you put a bunch of tweets out about it. But it just if Tebow or I or you are doing something, you should tweet a lot about it. Not just one time about it.
Yeah. For your
You're
CD,
saying if
for
it's
your
from
CD.
The Punch Drunk page, not James' personal page.
Yeah, if James on his personal page, he could do Photoshop Finn sucking everybody's dicks for all I care. I don't really
I would
care.
Love that. I think that would get better reviews for his book.
I would definitely retweet that.
But on the Punch Drunk page, if Tebow, me, or you are doing something, or Frank's, tweet something more about than one tweet. See fucking Tebow at the fucking Laugh Factory. That's
I don't know. I think it requires one tweet. See, Tebow's Laugh Factory requires one tweet.
Wow. Okay, I could be wrong.
If he was recording a CD, yeah, we want to fill it up, sure.
I'm not...
It's like you let people know. You don't bother. What you do is you tweet out, here's a new article we wrote, or here's content.
But what if he's tweeting the fuck out of, hey, come check out this guy's show. Is that okay?
You should only tweet that once.
Okay. All right. All right. I just feel that the guys on the show
should
get some love.
Yeah, like maybe a week ahead of time so people know, and then maybe 2 days before, like, hey, don't forget, blah, 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 is at such and such.
Yeah, but now, when you release your CD, it's like there should be a tweet that is coming, another tweet that is coming, it's here.
I agree.
Still here.
The point of what I'm saying is that the guys on the show should get equal love to people not on the show. That's all I'm saying.
I agree with that. I don't like him apologizing for anything we do because he's acting as us. And we're not apologizing for that.
I personally am not really into George St. Pierre trying to get at Brandon Schaub about Travis Brown. That's not really my style, but that's what we do on this show.
No, that's what GSP did. Take it up with GSP.
Yeah, I agree with that. But to apologize for the calls, that's our show. That's always been our show.
And to say... I don't mind him being like, hey, if that offended some people, we're sorry or whatever. But then for him to say, if we are lucky to have Brandon Schaub or anybody famous back, we will not take any phone calls at all.
He said that? What a dick. I mean, liar. That's just a liar.
Yeah. That's a lie. Because not only that, we're going to take way more phone calls now.
Yeah. I love James, but it's like, come on, man. That's just really uncalled for.
How many times have you told him? Stay off the fucking Twitter account for personal shit.
Yeah.
Don't speak.
Tweet your own shit on your own fucking thing. This is like, what articles are out? Who's going to be where? What are our friends doing? Let's move on. That's it. So that's my opinion.
Or like, here's a sports story. Kobe Bryant retires. Yeah. Link to that. Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, 100%. I agree.
Sure, yeah. Because a lot of our fans are just straight up sports fans.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you guys want to get into? Do you guys want to get into our week, the Rose Battles?
Well, I want to hear about the week, but right before the show started, Frank was telling me a little bit about this roast battle shit, and I wouldn't mind hearing that.
Okay, so I'll set up, and then you finish. Apparently,
go ahead.
Apparently, there was a divorce between Moses and Rel Battle, and you could change.
Which we talked. We talked about that on this show a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. Well, now I can be completely honest.
There's a big breakup, and so what Rel Battle has decided to do was take what he sees as his show to New York, and now he's doing the roast battles and calling it the original roast battles in New York City without Moses.
The original roast battles in New York City.
Yeah.
Where are they going to do it? The New York Comedy Club.
Yes.
Yes.
And who are they going to get? The Wave? It's like,
nope.
What is?
From what I understand, he's taking, it's going to be, he didn't like The Wave and anything like that to begin with. So it's like, he's either going to be using characters that we created and make money off of it. Or he's
what do you
just
mean
gonna,
characters are created?
Because it's like
Earl's
like
racist
Earl,
characters,
the
and
wave,
the
like all of
all
that,
that
all the format, all of the way that it's been kind of been has all been like a community project. And what happened recently is me and Moses went down to the Writers Guild to pull the treatment for the roast battle to see who registered in his name. And Moses had registered a few months ago, but previously before that, him and Rel registered one together. But it turns out that Rel only put his name on it.
Oh!
So
Rel's devious, huh?
Yeah, so he's now taking this to New York, and he's going to make, he's charging like $15 a ticket. Like, it's insane.
And he's going to keep all the money.
I don't know, man. It looks like
it. Isn't what Moses did was say, okay, Rel, you're too detrimental to the show. You are a creator. We're going to keep paying you. You're third, whatever it is. But you can't come to the show anymore. It's kind of the way they kicked out David Gilmour from, is that who it was, from Pink Floyd?
From the Gilmour Girls?
Yeah. But it's just like,
whoever it was, like, we'll keep paying, you're done. But if they're going to keep paying him, he should have to pay those guys for any show he does in New York.
What do they charge at the Comedy Store for the roast?
The show?
Nothing.
Dude, it's free or $5 for a guaranteed seat.
Okay.
So it's like, we've always had it. It just sucks because it's like, and there's also other powers that be that's stopping us from going to other places and do festivals and stuff.
Like who?
Jesus Christ.
I don't know. From what I understand, we're not allowed to go do festivals. Like, there's something preventing us from going and doing festivals.
Who said that? Is it, like, the management of the Comedy Store?
No. The management of the Comedy Store has nothing to do with it.
Okay.
It's just from what I've heard.
Jeffrey Ross?
No. Jeff Ross isn't stopping us. Jeff Ross is, like, the one person who, like, wants
Jeff Ross
us
just
to
doesn't
do
want them to. Just doesn't want him to agree to do festivals before consulting with him whether or not he can do it.
Exactly.
And he was like mad about South by. I'm filming my special the day before. You can't.
Yeah, and that's
didn't
a
you
reasonable
guys already do a couple festivals?
But Ross was, you know, it's the thing. It was like it's a partnership, so it's like, you know, he's got to, you know, we got to get his approval and stuff. But from what I understand, Rel's making it so we can't do festivals. And that sucks in a sense that, like,
unbelievable.
That sucks in a sense that, like, all the guys that have been doing it since the beginning, like me, The Wave, The Haters, we can't
Earl.
Do Montreal. Yeah, Earl, yeah, The Haters. We can't do Montreal. We can't do Oddball. We can't do things like that to get ourselves known.
Unbelievable.
It's like, we're not getting paid, and we're not in it for the money. You know, we're just in it for the exposure.
Because he's got his name on the original thing.
Yeah.
And how is this, how is he playing with everybody? I mean, like, when he comes around, it's got to be, like, cold as ice, right?
I mean, he doesn't come around. And it's really hard to be, like, I don't know, man. It's, like, because it's, like, fuck, dude, I've been there since the beginning. So it's, like, dude, I'm, like, dude, Moses is, like, my big bro. He's the one who fucking got me into everything. And, like, I was cool with Rel. And now it's just so fucking weird because it's, like, you know, it's like he fucking ripped out everything that we all fucking worked on. Because it's a community project.
Everything gets weird when even a little bit of money shows up. I mean, this happened a million times.
Well, the thing
times.
Is, like, he could go do his own thing. That's the thing. He could go do his own thing. He can have his battles. It's fine. Because there's other battles popping up that people are doing. And it's like, we're not going to stop every single thing that happens. But it's like, you shouldn't call it the original roast battle. You shouldn't try to take the momentum from the things that we all personally created. Like, you know,
at the end
wave.
Of the day, he's just going to kill it.
Dude, and it's like, the thing that sucks the most is, like, none of the battlers, the young guys, the guys that come through the open mic, the guys that are door guys, the guys that are just fucking, like, have nothing, they don't get paid. Dude,
yeah.
I fucking haven't gotten paid.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, dude,
it's
like,
stupid.
And all of us do this every single Tuesday. Dude, I've been there
every
Tuesday.
If I got a
Tuesday
piece of it, I'd be like, okay, fine, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Keep growing it and I'll keep making money.
That's the thing is, like, most of the guys don't even want money. They just want the fucking exposure. It's just fun, man.
I feel like the roast battle is the version of Dublins from way back in the day for us when we were all coming up and you played Dublins and everyone would announce you. You know, that's what the roast battle is.
And then Vince Vaughn would smoke a cigarette with you afterwards and tell you he thought you were funny and you're like, cool.
Yeah,
I just got paid by a compliment from Vince Vaughn. I'm good for the month.
Yeah.
So, guys, how was your week?
You know what I mean?
How was your week?
Yeah.
Well, so are
my week was cool, man. I was in Chicago for 4 days. Pretty sweet. Gigs were cool. Fucking Laugh Factory, but it was super cool. What's up?
Did you relapse?
Nope, none of that.
Temptation? Do you have temptation to relapse?
Nah, not really. I mean, I hit them when I'm out there.
Not really.
A couple places.
Yeah.
Do you have temptation? I mean, I'd have temptation at a fucking goddamn insurance seminar if, you know.
Yeah, just come on.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, I mean, it's always going to be there. But
did you crush it, Tebow? Did you crush?
Yeah, crushed it. Yeah.
How is that Chicago Laugh Factory?
Great, dude. Huge room, dude. They had like 195 people on the night of a Blackhawks game, and they kept apologizing to me because they said that usually the room's packed.
Oh, dude, I did Yuck Yucks this week. They had 70 people on a Thursday. They're like, I can't believe how empty it is. I'm like, I'm fucking fine, dude. On a fucking
people
Thursday.
Don't realize how. They think because, you know, we do stand up in L.A. and Hollywood and stuff that we go out and we just our expectations are low. An average L.A. comedy room that isn't like the Comedy Store main room on a Saturday night is like 60 people. And they think it's just like we're doing like the Hollywood Bowl every night or something.
Yeah.
So you go to like Chicago and they're like, you know, they're like 40 short of a sellout on the night of a Blackhawks game. And they're like, I'm going to make this up to you somehow. I'm going to get you back here and I'm going to prove to you that this place is packed to the tits on a fucking Saturday night. I'm like, dude, this is a great crowd. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Well, you watch. I'm going to find you one day. And I'm going to make this up to you. But this dude had this big ass Death Squad poster he wanted me to sign. And he was like, where do you want to sign? I'm like, I don't care. And he goes, oh, here's Ari's name right there. And I go, perfect. And I signed it, and then I wrote, Ari is a Jew. And then I pointed down to your signature.
Not cool, man.
Not cool. Not cool at all. All right,
let me ask you a question, Tebow.
Yeah, buddy.
How wet was the puss in Chicago?
Pretty dry. Pretty dry. And like that Chicago Laugh Factory, it's in like their version of Boys Town. It's like you walk, I'm outside smoking a cigarette. It's just dudes holding hands walking down the sidewalk.
Let me ask you something, Tebow. And I find this being sober too. Is it harder to fucking hit on chicks sober? Is it? It's just like you realize like meeting
the stakes
chicks,
are higher. The stakes are higher.
The drinking is such a big part of the mating process. Like girls want two things from you, free drinks and dinner. You get them that, they'll give you the puss. But if you don't buy them drinks, it just is weird.
Yeah, because they're like, are higher.
How do we know what this is?
Hold on, Ari, what are you doing?
Are you paying Ari?
He's taking a piss, like a man. So, turn it down so we can
no!
see.
No! God damn it.
There it goes.
No!
Yeah. Dude, I've never wanted to be a toilet so bad in my mouth. Just have my mouth open right now. Just getting all that yum-yum. Some of that yum-yum, bro. So bad. Keep going, bro. You're not done. Ian, you call that done? Look at that clamp. Yeah, clamp it. Shake it out. Shake it.
Here's a new idea.
That's actually really polite, though. That's kind of...
You would need to do, dude, you wouldn't need to do that move if I was there,
let
bro.
Me ask you
it's like a pinky up kind of thing.
Pinky up.
Oh!
Oh, he licked it! Aaron, did you see any of that? Oh, you're so lucky.
Bro, I never wanted to be a toilet seat so bad in my life.
Just had
to
watch the show.
You could probably sell that napkin.
My hair.
Tebow, did anybody any really funny people out there? Like, you're like, holy shit, fire.
Well, that show that I did Saturday was the nasty show or whatever. So everybody's supposed to be dirty. The hostess, she was pretty funny. But a few black comics I'd never seen before. There weren't, I mean, everybody was good. You know, everyone did like 15 minutes. They had me do 30, which was sweet.
Are you saying black people are not as funny as women?
Oh, boy, that's going to be a tight one. No, I think they're funnier than women.
Ari, how was your week?
Great.
What'd you do?
Went to Outside Lands on Sunday. I had a girl come in to visit.
Whoa! Pulling pussy, Ari.
Somebody we know?
No.
Ari, do you think this girl knows when you're like coming to town that it's like slam ham time?
Yeah, that's all she wants.
That's all she wanted was you to slam those fucking Jew nuts into her?
How did you turn her into a toilet?
Like, after a while, it was like, I've never had this before. She, like, the last night, she was like, I got my period. And I was like, thank God.
Like, oh, because you were just blasting inside her?
God, it's like, slow down a little bit.
So,
you needed a break.
Do you think she got a black and blue mark from your ball smacking into her asshole? Do you think her brown eye was black and blue eye?
She definitely black and blue eye.
That's so stupid, dude.
But we went to Outside Lands on Sunday, and that was pretty cool. Black Keys, took some Molly.
And, Black Keys?
Oh, this is where you're getting into apologizing to me for your goddamn drug addiction. But go ahead, what was it?
Oh yeah. So again, sorry to bring Molly.
I don't care. I've never done Molly in my life.
You've done ecstasy though.
Yeah. But then after
that's because Molly wasn't around yet, really.
Yeah, I know. That's what I mean. Like,
What's the big difference?
I'm too old for it.
What's the big difference between Molly and ecstasy?
Oh, ecstasy has all the speed mixed in with it. Yeah. Molly's supposed to be just the
Molly's supposed to be better. And what do? You just pour that into your drink or something? Or what?
You could. It was in a pill form. I just took it.
Saw people snorting it with cocaine this weekend.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Calgary, they get down.
Dude, everybody's on drugs in Calgary.
They don't fuck around.
Everybody's rich and got a shitload of drugs.
Everybody's got too much money for the same amount of work that everyone else has in Vancouver for a quarter of what they're getting paid.
Dude, I went to...
oil money. Losing Sam's interest.
No, I met a fan, a Death Squad fan, and me and my buddy were just, this guy was driving me around. He's like, come over. Like, he's like, we got a bunch of chicks here. I'm like, okay, we'll come by.
Really?
And it turns out my buddy was selling blow. And they're like, hey, dude, this guy's like, I wish I knew where blow was. I'm like, I think that guy's got it. And the guy's like, you got blow? He's like, yeah, he bought it. And it was just like fucking zombies on a dead corpse. Just the whole fucking kitchen filled up with people. But it was all guys. And I'm just watching this. And I'm like, dude, you guys got coke. There's 8 chicks over here. Give them some of the cocaine. That's the point of coke. Am I wrong?
How was the pussy in Calgary? Was it wet?
More importantly, how was the coke?
I didn't do any coke. I didn't do...
Soon as you said... Some friend of mine was driving me around. My first thought was, that's some coke guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I didn't do anything. I'm enjoying my sobriety.
Well, agree to disagree.
Agree to disagree?
I think
Aaron was really upset. He accused me of that. So it was pretty much fun. I mean, the crowds are great. The first two nights wasn't that packed, but man, they were great crowds. And then, like, pretty people started coming to my shows. And they were gross, but I think they were kind of like all like nervous about the quality of dick jokes I was doing. One woman pulled me aside, goes, she's just a random audience member. She goes, how do you think that went? I go, I thought I crushed it. She goes, you really enjoy these dick jokes? I go, fuck yeah. I'm like,
how do you think that went?
I go, lady, who, you're one of fucking 200 people in this room in one show I'm doing on the road of 1,000 shows I'm going to do. Do you think anything you're going to say to me is going to change my opinion of how I'm going to do my act? You paid to see me. I didn't go. No, I always like to ask who they liked. Because I always had these chicks come up to me, always giving. 3 hot chicks came up to me after and yelled at me about using the word retard.
Really?
Yeah, they're like, you.
I had a retard yell at me for using the term hot chick in Chicago. So that was totally weird.
Yeah, that is so weird, right?
I'm like, dude, can't take that on stage. I'm like, what do you mean I can't tate that on stage? What are you talking about? Fuck out of here, you monster. Get away from me, you monster.
You can't tate that on stage.
So do you, yeah, so it was a fun weekend. They want me back. But they were talking about Stampede. They're like, you should come out with Ari. I'm like, fuck yeah, I'll come out with Ari.
Dude, I've been talking about it for a while. It's in July.
What is Stampede? What is it?
Okay, it is Mardi Gras for white trash Canadians.
Oh, yes. What?
It commemorates... Sam, get off the phone. It commemorates. Sam, get off the phone.
Hey, it's no different than you emailing somebody. I'm doing business.
Don't do business while we're doing the podcast.
Why? You were doing business. Didn't you tell somebody you couldn't do a Thursday show? It's the same thing.
That was while we were starting the podcast. I was like, let me get this out of the way.
No, we were straight in. I heard click, 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 click.
Okay, now you're done.
Thank you, Aaron. You also took a leak in the middle
of
the show.
I'm cool with that.
That's
efficiency. Yeah, that's efficiency.
Content.
I didn't lose my fucking thought.
He was still there.
It's called content, exactly.
You got to watch some of that delicious yum yum come out of that fun stick. I'm in.
Jesus.
You ain't even Ari uncomfortable. You know it's bad when Ari's uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Some of that yum yum come out of that fun stick. All right.
Yep, yep.
What were you talking about, Ari?
I don't know.
Oh, you were explaining what Stampede
okay,
is.
So it commemorates the when the people took, you know, marched the cattle across the country and they brought them into town. It was Stampede. The cowboys would come from all over the country and bring these herd in, you know, sell them off or whatever. And then the cowboys started drinking once they got there. They just got off the fucking prairie.
Right.
And so it just became a thing. And now it's just booze for
Do they have cows coming in to like ceremonial cows coming in?
Oh, no, for sure. They take the steers down. They have a parade.
Oh, really?
The week after is the number one week for divorce filings in Calgary.
Dude, they say everybody cheats on each other.
That's a sign of a
good
party.
They say everybody fucks. If you can't play in Calgary, you're fucking got a problem. Everybody fucks. Girls walk around half naked, and everybody fucks everywhere. And they're like, our club isn't that busy that week, but if you guys want to come out, we'll make something happen. I'm like, if I can't do it this year, I'm going to definitely try to do it next year.
Yeah, let's plan for it next year. We might have been able to do a show, but he's going to let us stay at the condo, and the condo is right in the fucking heart of it.
Yeah, I'll totally do it, dude. Like,
did you get laid when you were out there, Trips?
No.
Did you even try?
No.
Yeah, I didn't even try. I was just fucking around.
I'm just at a place
food.
Where I'm just like, I just want to go to sleep. You know? I'm just like,
I just don't have that kind of...
I that from Sam Tripoli.
I don't either. Jesus. I don't either.
Guys,
I feel like for Sam, it's either... If it's a sure thing, he is 100% in. That doesn't matter if she looks like some sort of genetic fucking experiment. If it's a sure thing, he's in. If it's not, he's not wasting his time anymore.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's definitely Sam.
Just a wheelbarrow full of tits and flash, he's in.
So what else? What do you want to talk about, Ari?
Okay, we've gotten away from our roots a little bit. And being the NBA Finals right now.
Yeah, go.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm ready for you to pay attention. Being the NBA Finals right now, I think we should get back to our top three NBA Finals players that we don't want to get raped by.
Okay. And who's your top three, Ari?
You mean of all-time NBA players or currently in the finals right now?
Early in the finals.
Oh, that's a great question.
I mean, I say LeBron number one.
No, I would actually be cool.
He's so powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know your girlfriend's going to enjoy it. So it's like
a little something for her. No, he's saying you get raped by.
Oh, I get raped? Oh, yeah. I don't want that guy on top of me.
LeBron might be nice because he's got those nice shoulders. He'd be nice to hug.
He's got them full lips.
Yeah, that's true. How about Andre Iguodala?
What about Ian Edwards' bit about how the guy in like South Africa raped the guy face to face? What if LeBron raped you face to face? You had to watch him as he raped you.
Airline. I feel like a substitute teacher like from high school. Just fucking.
I mean, it'd be tough to root for the Cavs after that.
Yeah, I'd be like, sure. I want the Cavs, but the number one guy raped me.
I mean, I get it. They're a hard luck franchise, but at the same time, he did rape me and face me.
Yeah, face to face.
You call that the look of a champion, but I call that.
LeBron, for sure. Kendrick Perkins. He hasn't played that much. Yeah. But that dude, he doesn't look coordinated, so his rape would hurt.
Yeah.
He'd have no rhythm. He wouldn't care about how you feel. He would just be like, gah, gah, Kendrick smash.
Yeah, there would be that kind of fucking just grossness. I hate Bogut.
I'm going to tell you, probably what? I would hate to get raped by Steph Curry because
Steph Curry looks like he would just make love to you.
Yeah, He's smooth. He convinced me
wanted it. Same height, and I'd be like, I want to stop this. Why aren't I stopping this? We're the same height.
I wonder if when he pulled out, he's going to flop to the floor.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that. He would be quick, too. Just fucking the minute your pants are off, he's already inside
he'd
you.
He'd probably have such a quick release rape, you wouldn't even know it happened.
He'd be like, what the hell? What if my clothes weren't even off? Yeah, I'm Steph Curry.
Plus, he looks like he showers a lot. I think he would be clean.
What do you guys think of the finals,
and then
man?
Daughter, his cute little daughter could watch, and that would make it more interesting.
Well, now you're just trying to make me hard.
Now you're going too far.
Now you're just trying to get me
you're
hard.
You're totally killing. these fucking finals are amazing. I mean, like, this this finals for LeBron James, if he can actually...
This is a legacy finals for LeBron James. If he can win this without the other two big three on his team, just kind of throw it on those big, sexy shoulders of his and take it to the fucking top.
Throw it on that meaty dick.
Throw it on that nice fucking
dick. Throw that meaty dick. That is so funny.
Throw it on that nice plumper that he's got. Dude, it would be a legacy for him to win.
Yeah, that. I mean, I already thought five. After Kyrie Irving went down, I was thinking, like, oh, it should be four. But Steph has been off. What do you guys think about that?
I think Cleveland's been playing good defense against them. They held them under 100 in regulation for two games. I mean, and that's a high-scoring team.
Jalen Rose, I listened to his podcast. I can't say enough how awesome Jalen Rose's podcast is.
He seems like a great guy.
He's got a great podcast. He was talking about that he didn't think that Steph Curry's been the same since he took that huge fall. Like he has.
That's what they've been saying. The numbers are like he's way below. Game four against the Rockets. He's been off from game five.
I hadn't thought about that.
These two games.
I've always said it here. Nobody, like, it's almost like Steph Curry is the Wayne Gretzky of the NBA, where, like, nobody's allowed to hit this kid. And I just feel like he goes down the middle, and it's just a bunch of bullshit. And I think people should hit him. I'm not saying hurt him, but I'm saying they should hit him. And that's my opinion.
I could see it. I mean, so what we got a game tonight, and they're at Cleveland tonight, correct?
Yeah.
We got
I think Cleveland wins tonight. Dude, they should, if they win tonight, they should be up 3-0. That's not good for the Golden State Warriors.
Wait, if they win tonight, why should they be up 3-0?
Because they should have won game one.
Why?
Because they were up all the way to the last possession of the game. And then they hit that last shot, and they sent it to overtime. Golden State hit the last shot, sent it to overtime. They should have won game one and two.
What about game two? Did they have the same sort of luck that Golden State had?
They were up the whole game until the end, and then Golden State tied it up again. They were leading most of the game, both games.
Oh, yeah, the overtime game. I thought they were going to win that. That's the game where Kyrie Irving got hurt in overtime. If they didn't go to overtime, he might not have even got hurt.
This is the greatest run ever. Everybody wants to compare him to LeBron, to Michael Jordan. This is the best. The only thing comparable to this run is another MJ, and that's Magic Johnson. When Magic Johnson had to go to the finals and Kareem got hurt, and Magic Johnson had to play center versus Daryl Dawkins, Chocolate Thunder, and he went for 45, 16, and
I would say if he wins. If they lose five, then it's like, all right, you got through the East, and you got. But if they make a move, this is definitely a way to solidify it. Your second and third best players on the team went out.
Yep.
You're still competing. It's like
it's unbelievable.
Legacy shit.
This is almost like a much better version of Allen Iverson's teams. You remember when he made it to the final, and it was like Allen Iverson was the only guy who can score, and the rest of the people were all defensive superstars.
Didn't he only make it to one final?
Yeah.
In his career?
He made it against the Lakers, and the Lakers had been undefeated up until that point in the playoffs, and the 76ers won game one, and pissed the Lakers off. They were so fucking pissed. But yeah, dude, I kind of what I said before, man, cut the head of the snake off of Steph Curry, and this team is fucking, it doesn't run the same. Steph Curry is the engine that makes
I agree with you, but I don't think that's any giant secret there.
Yeah, I don't even think so. I think Klay Thompson can step up. I think they have other guys that can step up. If Curry only scores like 18, I don't think
to the magnitude, though. I think for them to really pour it on, I think Curry's got to be 25 plus a night.
Yeah.
You can hold Curry under 25, you got a goddamn good chance of beating that team.
Yeah. I'm totally down. I just think that they got to. They know how to shut Steph Curry down because they get really physical with him, which is what they need to do, is get really physical with that kid.
Yeah.
Who do you guys think wins tonight?
I think Cleveland wins tonight.
Ari? You think Cleveland wins tonight? I'm giving it Golden State. I think they come back now and be like, hey, guys, no more fucking around.
Do you guys want to bag a bets it?
I think Golden State.
You want to bag a bets it?
No, I don't think it that much.
You know what? I'm starting to shift the way I think about that series too. The way LeBron looks and they're playing with swagger.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes it's weird about sports, and you see it a lot in like the NFL and the NBA, where you lose a major guy, on your team or two, and the whole country starts counting you out. The minute Kyrie Irving got hurt, the entire country was like, well, that's the whole series. That's it. Golden State, they just handed Golden State the trophy.
Anthony Johnson had a 4-0 sweep. I'm like, I don't know,
the
man.
The rest of your team kind of sometimes can rise up and go, hey, man, fuck this. I'm going to prove these naysayers wrong, and we're all going to take on a little bit more responsibility. And it's hard to, you know, when you're scheming against a team and you're scheming against Kyrie Irving, and now some other players got to step up, that's hard to defend against when you don't know what certain people are capable of. Against.
Exactly. You don't have time to prepare. And sometimes they can catch you off guard like that.
Yeah.
That same thing happens in MMA. But I think now, over this weekend, they're like, hold on. There's no Kyrie Irving. Let's get a game plan going and really
start getting some game footage on some of these players, and you can start scheming against them defensively.
They would be so much better if J.R. Smith wasn't a retard, too. I mean, just horrible.
And he can hit a free throw. If he could hit a free
horrible calls. Horrible calls, man. Just
if he could hit a free throw, too.
Yeah.
That's what's amazing to me, how some of these players can like shoot a better 3-point percentage than they can free throw percentage.
It's amazing. No one's on you. Fucking jump if you have to.
That's the whole thing. You're all alone. You're like, whoa, what is this? What is this?
Here's Steph Curry after the fall. During the fall, the last game, he went 6-13 from 3-point line. 7-18 overall, with 6 of those with 3-pointers, so it's fine. Then he went 3-11, 2-6, 2-15.
2-15 is horrible. At home.
Yeah.
At home.
5-23 for the night.
5-23. Step boy with stat of the day. The problem with the Warriors is they have no down low post guy. Like, why aren't they playing David Lee a little bit? The guy has some post moves. When the threes aren't falling, you got to get somebody who can go down low, bang, put the ball in the hole so you see the ball start falling.
Someone like a Nick Youssef, for example.
Yeah, like the way he owned Ari.
I didn't have breakfast.
Ari, it's breakfast, a blister, whatever.
Right out the gate, I didn't have breakfast. There was no question about what went wrong. It was he didn't eat two donuts.
Did
four
you ever
hours
see
the weeks? Game.
When you were
I only,
kids.
Yeah, I only bonbon instead of my usual five.
When you were kids, did they ever show you the video about how important breakfast is, the old black and white thing with the two cowboy kids? Do you remember that? The little kid, the good-looking kid was like, he ate a good breakfast. And then the fat kid was eating, like, donuts and staying up all night smoking cigarettes. And nobody gave a fuck. And then when it came to the race, he couldn't race at all. Did you see that one, Ari?
No.
Really?
No.
Oh, fuck. I'll find that on YouTube. Can you look it up? The importance of looking at the cowboy race between two kids, who has a good breakfast, who doesn't. It's funny as fuck. It's so funny watching David Blatt coach, because you know nobody's listening. Like, he's gonna go to, dude, if he wins this week, he will be a Hall of Famer, because he will have won every other league, including the NBA. No other guy's done that. He's won, like, all the Euro leagues. He's won all the other foreign leagues. He's won championships. He'd be the first one to do all of them. And literally, he's on a team that could not give a fuck what he has to say.
Did he ever coach in college?
No, that's it. He never coached college. He coached Euro leagues, NBA, some FIBA stuff. He won a bunch of shit.
WNBA.
WNBA. Oh, have you guys been watching this female soccer stuff?
What is it?
Basically, you know, it's the FIFA Women's Cup. And, like, women are bitching that they're not getting enough attention. And it's so funny because it's like...
Sounds like women to me.
It's like... Yeah. It's female...
What's new about that?
Women don't understand. Shit is not given. It is taken. Do you know how many pro male sports aren't on television because they don't have enough following? And how many fucking female sports are just on television because they're female sports and the male equivalent is on television? If you actually had to have the same standards as men, half your sports wouldn't even be on television.
You know when they didn't have to tell people to watch? When the Williams sisters started playing.
Yeah. Ronda Rousey is fighting.
Everyone's just interested, and they're talking about it. They're not following a mandate of, like, you need to have more of this entertainment. Everyone's just interested.
Right,
they'll cover what people are interested in if you just let them.
Yeah, it's called supply and demand. It's what the entire system of fucking economics is built on in this country. If you demand it, we will supply it. Unless it should be a higher demand, so we'll give it to you anyway, because the demand isn't equal.
Well, it ain't. It ain't a higher demand.
Like, women are upset because they're playing on turf now. They're upset about that. And just like, it's just like, dude.
Wait, they're upset about it because it's women or because of their athletes?
The women are playing on artificial turf, whereas like the men get to play on real grass.
And artificial, I can see that.
Yeah, artificial turf like fucks with their legs.
Yeah, and they're also,
that's them playing as an athlete. Of like, I don't like turf. If a guy said, I don't like playing in domes,
I got no problem with that. Okay. I mean, as a competitor and an athlete, they're entitled to complain about the conditions of, you know, some people are like, hey, man, I don't like playing indoor football games. I like playing outdoors. You know, it's tough shit. You still got to do it, but you're entitled to complain and say that you don't like the indoor stadiums or whatever.
Well, men play on turf all the time in the NFL and shit like that. It's just the way it is, dude.
Yeah, but like, I think like the men, they have like pads and shit. It's like the women, like they get
their, their all right, so I'll stop bitching now. Yay, women. Women are great.
I was with a girl and somebody, some fan was on the subway and saw me. Thanks, that same girl. Same girl. Sorry, I already said.
Okay.
But he was like, oh, can I get your signature? And I was like, yeah, okay. And he goes, I don't have a pen. And I'm like, I don't have one on me right now. And then he went to her and he goes, do you have like, in your purse, do you have like a lipstick or eyeliner or something I can use? And she was like, I have a pen. Why are you skipping over just making me a girl?
He's like, quick, take your tampon out. Let me use that. You
know, a bloody tampon? I can use your blood to get Ari's signature.
If there's anybody's signature that should be in tampon fucking blood, it's Ari's.
Ari, what does the average Ari Shaffir fan look like?
It comes in all sorts of shapes and sizes.
Mm-hmm.
Like what?
From extra large to petite.
They look like they. I imagine they look like they haven't seen the sun a lot.
Do you have hot chick friends?
What?
Do you have like hot chick fans?
Like four of them, and they've all had sex with me.
Really? You fucked all your female friends?
My female fans, yeah.
I had like five people come up to me after the show Saturday in Chicago and say they love Punch Drunk.
Yeah, I've had a ton of people.
That's awesome.
Yeah, super
cool. Calgary got a ton of podcast fans. I couldn't believe it. One right after another. Hey, dude, love the podcast. Love the podcast. I'm like, holy shit. That's fucking great.
I had a dude visit me Saturday at the back door at the store.
He'd be like, hey, fucking Mexican.
He actually said that.
Really?
Yeah, I cried a lot.
Have people ever bring any weed into the store for the employees?
Yeah, actually, some dude came by. I was working phones, and he called the phones and was like, hey, I listened to Punch Drunk Sports and Ari Skeptotank. I brought a t-shirt and some weed for whoever's working the phones.
That's
I was like, awesome. I was like, fuck yeah, man. That's
so
great.
If you ever go to the store, bring some weed for the Mexican, bro. He loves the weed.
Bring a nug for the door guy.
You have officially not made as much of as we have on this show.
That's hilarious.
3 years in, and we are all even now.
That's great. Guys, what do you want? You want to get into the big UFC fight?
Before we do that, did anybody watch this last fight night? Because it was a great card. Every fight ended in a knockout or a submission.
Wow, really?
Henderson with a knockout stays relevant again.
I wasn't able to watch that fight. How'd the fight go?
Dude, Henderson just like early into round one, probably in the first 2 minutes of round one, lands like an overhand right and then a big textbook Hendo uppercut.
Really? Who do you fight?
Tim Bosch.
I can't believe Tim Bosch went out that quickly.
Dude, anybody would have. I mean, it's a Hendo right. It just
you're
one
totally
clock
right.
And he gets he's getting him a little wobbly and then just uppercut, kaboom.
Unbelievable.
And then he was like on the ground.
Oh, dude, it was like
Hendo just started pounding him and they just stopped it. But bro, he was. You know, I mean, Hendo
Tim
just
Bosch can take a shot too, man. Holy
shit. Here's what they're doing now. You get these guys that have been in MMA for long enough, they have a name, and so it still seems like a marquee win, but then you look at a guy like Tim Bosch's record. Tim Bosch is good, right? We all agree Tim Bosch is good.
He was like number 12 or 13 or something on the
Billy.
Total shots that Henderson shot, 12 total punches and the fight was over. 12.
Well, here's Tim Bosch's record in his last 7. He's 2-5.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Yeah. TKO punches.
He was still ranked number 13 in the weight class.
He won. It's crazy that That's crazy.
Did you see the end of the did you see the end of the Rothwell Mitrione
fight? That's the next thing I was gonna mention was the Rothwell Mitrione fight. So he gets him in a choke. Some sort of front choke. It wasn't a guillotine,
but
he had
weird,
like a,
right? It was a weird choke.
It was a cool, kind of like a guillotine, but it's almost like you're in a sprawling position. Okay, so it's like if he were to shoot and you were to sprawl and get him in like a guillotine, but his head was almost on his belly, not in his side.
Right, so that's no danger.
Yeah. So he choked him out, Mitrione out that way.
He choked him out that way?
Oh, he probably
just tapped him. Oh, wow. Pretty much almost put him to sleep. But so then he, and they said the name of the choke, but it was a weird, weird choke that I didn't know. If any of the fans are listening, no, it wasn't a Darce. No, it wasn't a Darce. I know what a Darce choke
like
is.
It's almost like an alligator in a weird
way. A Darce.
An alligator girl.
It's kind of like, yeah.
It's kind of under
it. Wasn't a gator
was it?
Yeah. But, yeah, Darce choke
the
is
anaconda?
Like one of the many chokes that Tate
but
choked
But he didn't
me
even have it cinched in that. It was a really room. Weird coat. You're like, that guy. I mean,
well, it looked
not
like he even said after the fight, he goes, I knew he was tapping because that was in deep right when I landed on him. I knew that choke was in deep. So he's choking him. So, but then after the fight, he gives this like WWF sort of like
I
weirdest
thought it was funny
interview.
As fuck.
Well, I thought it was funny, but it's like he just doesn't seem like the kind of guy. Like he's definitely no McGregor. He
well,
definitely doesn't have
dudes,
that kind of charisma.
The big problem with the interview was Anik, who didn't understand what was going on and just kept trying to interrupt him and have a real interview when he's obviously trying to
ham it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you got to let him go.
Yeah, what's yeah. So he gave this, like, really, he's like, I'm back. I want a top 10 fighter. This is what happens when you believe in yourself and, you know, you can't fuck with me and all this bullshit. And then he lets out this really creepy, like, evil laugh, like a Dr. Evil laugh, and then like holds his hand in the air and then starts to walk away.
Higher.
54 seconds of the very first round.
Raise the screen.
A tap out due to a go-go choke.
I think you'll get a replay here of the choke too.
Congratulations, you continue to get it done. Let's get right to the finish, man. How did you get it done? Pretty special way to end that fight here tonight.
That choke, let me tell you what that is. That's actions that speak louder than words. And the mixed martial artist you once knew, I am no more. I am something completely different. The only fight that matters to me now is the number one contender spot. I will have the UFC title.
You certainly continue.
Come on, Anik.
I know right now there is not a man in this planet that can stop me inside this octagon, and only politics can slow me. I don't have much left to say other than you have seen nothing yet.
Can I ask you about the fight, or you want to go?
And now he asks him about the fight after that. He just let him walk off, bro.
Anik, you fucking retard.
Yeah, look at the look on his face. He's like,
let me walk off. Let me
show
drop the mic.
See if you can find
who
a replay of that choke.
It was a go-go choke. So
no, who was that?
Oh, that was Ben Rothwell.
That was Ben Rothwell with his fucking weird, creepy fucking, like, body. He's got a weird body. He's got, like, that weird old man hair on his chest. See if you can find a replay of that choke so Ari can see what it looked like.
All right, I'll look at it right now.
He did win three in a row, but, yeah.
Well, dude, the heavyweight division is so fucking thin, and nobody seems to be able to stand out.
You win three in a row, and it's like, now you're in position.
All right, we keep getting this call from 406, and I know who it is. It's World Champ, and right now I don't want to take it because I just don't want to lose you guys. And we got a guy calling in Billy Corbin I'd rather take.
Dude, this guy is awesome, by the way. Did you guys look up all the documentaries he's done other than the one we've talked about?
Yeah.
No. Dude, he did the Miami University documentary. He did the sequel to the U on 30 for 30. He did the 30 for 30 going broke or broke about all the players going broke. He did this bare knuckle fighting one. He did Cocaine Cowboys, the sequel to Cocaine Cowboys. Dude, he's done like 9 documentaries that I've actually seen, and I didn't know they were all the same guy.
Wow.
Yeah, he's really like, dude, and that dog fight was awesome.
Oh, I just saw that.
How great was that?
Dude,
the dog
that was
fighting one?
Fucking, yeah. I was like, I couldn't stop.
Sam, what are you looking for?
I'm going to text Billy Corbin.
Just take the call we have.
What, Ari?
Just take the call that's calling in right now.
Ari, is that your own yard?
Ari, if I take this call, it might knock
that's
you off.
Nice.
So I'm telling this guy at noon, at 1 p.m., I'll call him. So that's all I'm telling him. okay?
No, it's not okay. You should do that before we start.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ari. Should I spend
great,
more
thank
time?
You. Apology accepted.
Thank you for showing up, Ari. Thank you for showing up, guys.
Guys, what is going on? I've gotten so many reactions to Twitter on Twitter about you guys actually boxing. Is there a way we can actually make this happen?
Yeah, Sam doesn't make ridiculous rules. So go MMA in an elevator, three minute rounds. Five 3-minute rounds.
No, you gotta do it like dog fights.
Can we get both of you guys and both your egos in one elevator? I don't think that's big enough.
No, we can discuss whether it should be a freight elevator.
It should be a freight elevator. Are you guys, can we get an agreement for you guys to fight? We'll lock in the fart funnel. You can blow a hot hisser right down Sam's fucking cake hole and then right to the octagon.
Sam, what do you say about that?
No, I tell you exactly what I want to do.
Okay.
And I want to fight Ari.
I want that to happen too.
I'll go 3 2-minute rounds.
Ari, that's pretty good.
How about with 3-minute rounds or five?
But, dude, 2-minute rounds, I believe that's what they do in the Olympics.
How about counteroffer? We start the fight with you asleep in your bed, and I'm standing over you. And I'll be the one ringing the bell.
With a sock full of dimes?
Yeah, we can do 1-minute rounds like you want, but we'll start that way. You are asleep, and I'm standing over you.
You are such a twat. You are such an
amazing
twat.
I mean, you're making some random rule.
I love this random rules. It's not a random rule.
Hey, it's not random. It takes away your one weakness, your biggest weakness. It takes it away.
Hold on, Ari, Tebow, what were you bringing up in the last thing that nobody brought up before is that he had no fucking stamina.
The one thing you did not have when you played basketball against Nick was any kind of stamina, and yet you are claiming that that is going to be your strength over Sam Tripoli.
That's a good point. You make a good point. But, yes, still. Absolutely still.
You're still sick. Now, well, let me ask you this.
I didn't have breakfast.
Will you eat breakfast?
I didn't have breakfast.
Will you eat breakfast before the fight?
Depends what time of day it is.
What kind of breakfast?
If it's another like noon, 1 p.m. situation, whenever we did basketball, then maybe not. But if it's like a night thing,
like,
yeah,
didn't
sure.
You learn your lesson by not having a very balanced nutritional
breakfast. I did. And the next time I would have breakfast because that's the only reason I lost to Nick Youssef. I was up 10-7, as everyone knows. And eventually the
I
food,
thought it was a blister, you faggot.
He did have a really bad blister. I will admit to that. He had a very bad blister.
I would eat before I went with Sam. I mean, yeah, sure.
Okay. I didn't have to eat
before I beat him in bowling really easily. But
oof, that is true. Sam, does that change your strategy? Now you want to maybe punch him in his gut to get him to throw up his Jew food?
I mean, Sam couldn't beat me in the sport that he loves and he excels in. I don't think.
I don't know if I excel in it. I hadn't done it in a while. Once. He's talking about
bowling, right?
Yeah.
Competitive.
So now let's fight MMA.
No, we're gonna box.
Okay, instead of headgear, I want to have Burger King crowns.
And if you knock one of the crowns off, you get like more points than the judges.
Yeah, sure.
I'm down with that. I'll do 3 1-minute rounds with Ari. I'll do it.
No, that's what you suggested before.
3 2-minute rounds.
I will do it.
You just said 3 2-minute rounds.
Dude, it's never going to go three rounds, you piece of shit.
Okay, then it won't be a problem.
There you go.
MMA.
5 1-minute rounds?
No, 5 3-minute rounds. Mixed martial art.
3-minute rounds. Dude, you're
Jesus
crazy.
Christ.
Try to get him on.
Dude, I would get tired just watching that 5 3-minute round fight.
I mean, honestly, I would just run around waiting for Sam to faint, and that'll take 1 minute and 20 seconds.
All right.
I need another 45 seconds to finish him off.
Okay. All right. I think you're full of shit, and I think you're talking a big game because you don't want this.
What did I just say?
What'd you just say? You think I'll tire out and I'll blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, the blah, blah, blah part, I mean.
Yeah, dude, I'm trying to get this guy. Ari,
give it to the stat boy. Let him get involved with it. What's he sitting there for?
He is doing it!
So pay attention to this, Sam.
I am. You two guys are perfectly good enough to call and handle the show on your own.
We can see you, Sam.
You're such a piece of shit. It's so amazing, dude. It's really amazing. I'm just trying to make this dream come true.
If by piece of shit you can care about this podcast.
I do care about this podcast. Hey, Aaron, can you come over here real quick and see if you can help us make this call?
Oh, are you making the call?
Yeah, well, I'm trying to make it so we can have you guys on without losing you.
Are you calling in right
I'm trying to call out.
I don't help it.
What, Ted Ari?
I'm saying Sam should send a text. Maybe that'll help it.
Oh, the look. Oh, I wish the fans could see it. You know, if you want,
if you go to our... from the call-in, then. We'll just wait.
It's better if he calls in.
Right. It'd be better if he called in? Because I'm just worried we'll lose them.
Well, we'll be able to hear. We'll be able to hear. We just won't be able to see. I think that's how it works.
Okay. All right.
Take world champion.
So how happy are you guys? Are you guys planning on watching this fight this weekend? I mean, I'm surprised Diaz hasn't called in because Gil Melendez is on this card.
It's a good fight, too.
It's a good card. It's a good card.
Gil Melendez is fighting... Who's he fighting?
He's fighting Eddie Alvarez.
That's a good fight.
Yeah. And, dude, Cain Velasquez and Verdum's a good fight.
That's a great fight. Some people actually give Verdum a shot.
Well, I mean, it's been a long time since we've seen Cain in the octagon. I mean, sometimes that ring rust, especially in the heavyweight division, you got a little bit of octagon rust, I guess they call it. You got a hell of a lot of leather coming at your face.
Yeah, this is a great card, dude.
13-1, 19-5.
What's his name? Markhart.
Nate Marquardt.
He's fighting again, dude. He seems to be, like, done.
Is he on that card?
Yeah, he is
on that card.
Velasquez versus Verdum.
Dude.
Who do you think wins this fight? Cain Velasquez. I think Cain just fucking.
I think Cain, too.
I think Cain will win, but I mean, shit, dude. I mean, it's not. I don't think it's a done lock. I mean,
I don't think it's a done lock either. But
let's do some predictions on like the main event. I mean, I'm gonna go Cain.
Okay, what do you got, Ari?
Hold on.
Let's go through it. Who do you think?
I mean, Verdum lost once since 2008. He lost to Alistair Overeem in a decision.
Mm-hmm. He didn't lose to Alistair Overeem. He lost to Junior Dos Santos.
That was after. That was before the streak.
He lost to Alistair Overeem?
Yeah, in Strikeforce. He beat Mike Kyle, whatever, Antonio Silva. That's a solid win.
That's a big win.
Fedor, and that was like the biggest win.
That was the biggest. That stopped the big run.
I don't say that put him on the map, but it put him into the forefront of title contention.
Yeah. Then he lost to Overeem, but I mean Overeem was juicing like crazy then. Beat Roy Nelson, Mike Rusal, whatever, Antonio Rodrigo Nogueira, Travis Brown, and Mark Hunt. I mean, this guy's.
And both those last two, Brown and Hunt, they were like the prime of their.
And their pressure. The first Brown was a UFC title eliminator, and then the Hunt was for the interim championship.
Yep.
So, I don't know, Sam. What are you texting now?
This guy was supposed to call us. I'm gonna go with Cain Velasquez. I just think there's only one guy I think on the planet that can beat Cain, and that's John Jones. I think Cain can beat anybody else. Maybe Daniel Cormier, if they decide to fight each other, might give him a fight. But I just don't think – Cain just is relentless. His stamina, his pace will be too much for everybody.
Yeah, it could be.
I mean, that heavyweight division, I really think it's going to be really hard for someone to have 7, 8, 9 title defenses in a row just because those punches – You know, you can clip anybody in the heavyweight division. So, but Cain's about as good as it comes. But I'm going to go with Cain in this fight. But I definitely would not rule out Verdum. I know that sounds like a pussy way of answering. I am thinking Cain's going to win this. But
what percentage, Cain?
72.
Yeah, that's I'll get, which is like major odds. I'd give it that. I give it like 85, 90.
I give him a 75% chance of winning.
What do you guys do? You think McGregor has any chance against Aldo?
I do.
He's got a chance. It's not as much. Everybody else I talk to seems to think Aldo. I mean, McGregor is going to walk through Aldo.
There's no way that happens. I don't think McGregor walks through Aldo in any way, shape, or form.
The biggest thing about McGregor, he is so much taller than. Aldo, he's
extremely accurate striking. His striking is incredibly accurate.
McGregor,
yes. Mm-hmm. He's those straight punches coming straight across. Like he's really good at hitting head movement. in mixing it up with leg kicks and his kicking. He has very unique striking, kind of like, remember when John Jones started coming around and he would just be throwing elbows from weird angles and a bunch of weird kind of striking.
All right.
And everyone's like, whoa.
Welcome. We got a call right here, guys. We got to take it. Please welcome to the show. See, I knew that was going
to
happen.
Here, one sec. I might be able to do
hold something. On. Please welcome to the show. He is the director of Dogfight. And an excellent, excellent doc on Netflix. He's done so many awesome docs, 30 for 30s, Broke, the You. Please welcome Billy Corbin, everybody. Welcome to the show, bud.
Thanks for having me.
No problem. We're trying to get our other guys on, but, you know, we're working through Skype. Dude, excellent job with this movie, man. Excellent job. It was riveting from the start. Can you explain kind of what the movie's about and what inspired you to shoot this, shoot Dogfight?
Sure. Dogfight is about what used to be. It's now the bygone or former subculture of unsanctioned, illegal backyard bare-knuckle brawls in a neighborhood of southwest Miami-Dade called West Barine. And just to offer some perspective for people who, when they think of Miami, immediately envision the 15 blocks of Ocean Drive that you see at the beginning of every movie in Miami, every Michael Bay
right,
movie, certainly
right.
In Miami, and you know, every kind of tourism type of advertisement. But West Bryan is 22 miles southwest, so inland from that world famous vision of South Beach that people picture when they hear Miami. And you know, Miami is a pretty rough area. You know,
yeah, we have 100%.
Very,
yeah,
there's some beautiful neighborhoods with gorgeous cars right next to very poverty-stricken, underserved communities. Sometimes there's gorgeous multi-million-dollar condominiums, you know, casting a shadow down on very downtrodden communities, you know, right beneath them. So Miami just has that kind of third-worldian vibe.
100%. I was watching it, and I was, it's really amazing the level of poverty that we could have in a country full of such wealth. And
oh, yeah, man.
It's just really amazing. We're here with Billy Corbin, director of Dogfights on Netflix. And, I mean, dude, you had to see some pretty amazing moments in this fight that were kind of, were they hard to film, watching these guys who I'm sure you made an emotional connection with them. Was it hard to watch sometimes?
Oh, well, they were brutal, and they were bare knuckle, and they, you know, you were in a backyard behind a chain link fence with a blue tarp around it, so that the neighbors couldn't peek in without paying the cover, you know, at the gate to get in. Some of them would climb the trees to look over, and you had this makeshift 12x12 ring in this backyard, and you have guys who are coming in. Really who feel like they have nothing to lose and everything to gain, that this is their greatest opportunity. Vast majority of them are ex-cons, convicted felons, who don't believe that there's any other legitimate kind of opportunity for them to get work or generate revenue. So they're literally trying to fight their way into a better life for themselves and their families. And you've got no medical staff. One day there was a paramedic.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, dude, that
was
nuts.
Did you supply that or did they just show?
No, I think at first I was so disoriented because I didn't see him come in, and I'd never seen him before, and I don't recall ever seeing him at any of the fights after that. I thought he was just like a guy who worked for Bang Brothers who was coming back from a shoot where he was like a porn star playing a medic or something.
No,
like he just knocked on a woman's door and said, I heard there was an emergency here, you know, or something.
I'm going to be honest with you. The feeling of some of these fights gave me the same feeling I get when you watch some really hardcore pornography. You're like, how did somebody get here and this is their way out, man? Yeah. It's crazy. What is the Dada 5000? Is he a good guy? Is he a bad guy? Is he a businessman?
Yes, would be the answer.
Okay.
to your multiple choice question, all of the above. I think, you know, I think the movie kind of leaves it up to the audience to decide, and you can see from the disparity of in the Netflix reviews that certainly people perceive him differently. Always interesting when people don't bother watching the entire movie, but yet still feel comfortable writing a review. That's very interesting.
Well, that's just the internet, dude. Anybody's got a fucking opinion, and they'll say whatever the fuck they want, and there's no real... Because most of them don't even use their real name. And if you don't use your real name, your opinion on a comment means nothing to me. I mean, I'm just a stand-up comic, so I get this constantly with any art I put out. It's just comments from just any... Most of the time, they're just putting out to see if they get a reaction from you to comment to them. That's almost like... Their holy grail is like, oh, can I get Billy Corbin to message me back about his opinion of my bullshit comment?
Well, that's the saddest holy grail I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, you got to understand, that's all people got.
Yeah, but look, I try not to, you know, to waste time on sad, lonely, anonymous Twitter trolls.
Yes,
but like, if you wanna make a comment, you know, sign your name to it. You know, so let me see your.
Put
you know
your
who
name
I am.
On it.
You know my name. You know what I look like. Like. Man up, you know, but I'm cool with constructive criticism, but this idea of, like, you not watching something, you know, and then offering your opinion on it is a little amateur.
Yeah. That's the world we live in, dude. Everybody's got an opinion. It's ridiculous.
I'm fine with that, though. I'm good with love it or hate it. You know, I'm great. You know, I feel like if you don't have haters, you're not doing it right, you know? So, like, I'm good with that, but just, like, watch it. Watch it and dislike it. I'm good with that. The idea that, like, I stop watching it after 15 minutes, one star. Wait a second.
Yeah.
hang on now.
How do you judge those 15 minutes?
Well, I thought it was extraordinary. I thought it was gripping.
Yeah.
And,
very interesting.
But the biggest thing I got is, like, okay, so they fight for a future. Mm-hmm. What is that future? I know that one guy at one point in these backyard fights had gone pro. And I hadn't really heard of him. I saw you did a little thing on him. Is that the goal? Is just to fight enough that somebody sees him that they let him go pro?
Yeah, ultimately, there's a few guys. Bruce Leroy was back there before we arrived. Level Martinez was there. Then we had Mike Trujillo, who you're probably mentioning, and a few other guys. And we saw at least three or four guys, some of whom are in the movie, some who aren't. Over the year and a half that we were covering this, we saw them go pro right from the backyard. And then, of course, there's two guys that didn't live that long while we were
making this
movie.
That was crazy.
Yeah, dude, that was insane.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, there is and I think you guys probably know it all too well, there's a certain hollowness to these victories, meaning that, like, even if you do make it, even if you do go pro, because if these guys in the backyard, they're fighting for, depending on what Dada can collect at the gate for the purses, they're fighting for as much as 400, as little as 200. The losers get as much as 50 and as little as 20. You see a guy in the movie who broke his wrist and had to forfeit a match, who gets $20 and has to, you know, make a trip to the ER for his trouble, you know, to get patched up. But you know that, like, even if you go pro, how much are you winning even in a pro fight? And then how much longer can you possibly compete in a contact sport like that? You're not just doing that into your 50s and your 60s, although Kimbo is certainly trying now.
Yeah, Kimbo's got a big fight. Bellator coming up June 8th, 28th in St. Louis. I'm doing some stuff with Bellator. I want to say, did you connect with anybody in terms of these fighters? Was there a connection with anybody a little bit more than the others? Or was there anyone who stood out to you as... You know, maybe in a different place, different time, this guy could have done something pretty special.
Absolutely. And spoiler alert a little bit, but Treyon Johnson, who I took a real liking to, kind of out of the ring. He was just like a real, I always said he had the heart of an artist, not of a fighter. He was a nightclub photographer, so he was interested in photography and production and video editing, so he was always asking us questions, and he had an open invitation. He wanted to come visit us at the office and kind of, like, intern or at least tag along, and every time I saw him, I'm like, when are you going to come by? I'm like, you know, hit me up and let's do it, and you know, he never followed up, and now, I mean, for obvious reasons, I regret never following up, but what happened to Tree, he was on his way home from a photography shoot at a nightclub where he did kind of, you know, we'll call it paparazzi sort of photography, but he'd be hired by the clubs to do it. So he wasn't a guy who was always out on the street getting into trouble. He wasn't, and you could see from the way he fights, he was much more of a personality,
yeah,
you know, than he was an actual fighter. So
yeah, unbelievable, man. It is tragic, man. You know, I mean, it's just a society thing. I did a show one time in Florida, and these people started I got off stage, and this woman's like, so, where are you from? I'm like, Hollywood. She's like, oh, you probably love Obama. And then we just got into this discussion about politics. I'm just like, some people are just born with two strikes against them. And it's just like, I'm not saying we got to take care of everybody, but some people just come out of the womb without a chance. And like, when I watched some of these fights, I was like, man, these kids are born with two strikes. And it's like, life has to really work out perfectly for them to even have a chance of getting out of there, man. Was that hard for you to watch?
You don't get to pick who your parents are.
Right.
You know, you're born in the world and you got to play the hand you're dealt. And yeah, some people are bad people and some people make bad decisions. You know, but we make it very difficult in this country to get a second chance, particularly if you're poor, particularly if you're a minority. I mean, let's face it. I was born, you know, through no choice of my own, a white guy in America. I was born on second base.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Like, I totally agree
I had every
with that,
opportunity
dude.
In the world, you know, some people forget first base. They're not even in the dugout. They might not even be in the ballpark. You know, in life and in this country. And I think you have to measure a people or a country on how you treat the most vulnerable. In your population, and that is, you know, the handicapped, the disabled, you know, the elderly, children, and the working poor, people who do have jobs, who are trying to make a living, who can't.
Yeah.
And we really just belittle, you know, we further underserve and marginalize people like that in this country. And we are, as you said, one of the richest developed countries in the world. And why can't we just be more compassionate, and why can't we just do better?
Dude, I totally agree. Now, Billy, are you ever in Los Angeles?
Not if I can avoid it.
Okay. Well, if you're ever in L.A., man, and I know you love sports because you've done so many of these amazing 30-for-30s. Man, so many of your 30-for-30s are my favorites because anything that I can watch from the 80s or 90s, which I feel is like the golden era of America, both artistically, sports-wise, and everything. We just really got to an amazing place. I'll watch, and all your movies have been great. And
yeah.
I know you got a lot of shit going on, but if you ever want to come on Punch Drunk and talk some sports, we'd love to have you in here, man, in the studio, because you're pretty passionate about what you do, and I really love your work, and I'm very thankful you called in. So real quick, everybody, please check out Billy's new movie. It's on Netflix. It's called Dogfight, and it's excellent, man.
Absolutely amazing.
You were great, man. Thank you so much for calling in, Billy. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Anytime. Looking forward to catching up with you in the studio soon.
Please do, man. If you can, we'd be honored to have you in, brother.
Thank you.
Take care. Billy Corbin, everybody. Billy Corbin from Dogfight. Yeah.
Kabbalah from below.
Hey, guys. Right. Welcome back. You guys missed a really great interview I did.
I'm sure you did.
I don't know what
sure.
to tell you, dude. That's why I was trying to do it, but unfortunately, Ari thought it'd be funny to go for a joke all the time about me not paying attention as I'm trying to make this fucking happen. So you guys could have been in that fucking killer Peabody award-winning interview that me and my good friend Frank the Mexican just did.
Good friend?
I'm just saying you could have solved all that before you started the podcast.
Ari, how about this, Ari? How about you solve all that before the podcast instead of just showing up like the blonde with big tits? How about that one? How about instead of just showing up and occasionally retweeting something, you
do
a couple things.
Hey, Frank, listen, we got this guy calling in. Here's a number. Go ahead and do it for us while we're on the podcast.
Hey, Frank, did we do that? Did we do that?
Yes.
Yes.
No, Sam.
Thank you.
You were doing the entire time. You're losing focus. I love how you lie like a little kid.
I love how you act like you do a lot when you do jack squat.
I bring numbers.
Yes, you do. And you're so lucky. And that's what you do.
I'm the one that does jack squat.
Okay, I'll give it up for that. I'll give it up for Pamela Anderson and the dead body from Weekend at Bernie's. That's what I have for you.
I feel like a stepson. You know what I mean? Like, my parents are
arguing. Yeah.
Well, guys, I have to personally jam so you guys can take over the show. I have to go do some writing right now for this Bellator thing I'm shooting tomorrow. So I have to jam. I love you guys.
Wait.
You have to leave now for writing.
Yes, I have to go fucking finish this writing session that I have to meet with the guys for the shoot tomorrow because a long story.
You have to meet people. Okay, that makes sense.
All right. Guys, I love you all. Sam, take care.
What do you got to promote before you go? Anything?
No, I recorded an album in Calgary, so I'm going to see how it turns out, and I might be putting out another album called The Diabolical.
Did you do two shows or one when you recorded it?
I recorded five. And
wow.
I will be at Off the Hook this weekend in Florida.
All right,
you fucking dick. All right, I'll see you guys later. All right.
You're taking the computer too?
Oh, okay. I'm just going to.
All right. Well, let's see. What else sports should we talk about, Tebow? What else should we do?
Well, I mean, do you give a flying fuck about NHL?
Yeah, hockey. I mean, it's 2-1 Avalanche right now, right?
I mean, Lightning are also in it. Lightning and Blackhawks, no Avalanche. So you obviously don't give a fuck about hockey.
What I love is that I go to Rangers fans when it's on TV and stuff. I'm like, oh, don't you guys feel like you could be up 2-1 right now?
Mm-hmm.
Weren't you so close to winning?
Dude, that's hockey. Now, this is the first year I've ever gotten into hockey. I mean, you know, when the Kings are in or Blackhawks are in, I'll kind of like be a sympathizer or watch on the periphery or what have you. But this year I've really gotten into it, and there's very few I've missed because I've been here and they're all on TV and like the town is crazy for it.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Is it me or does every goddamn hockey game go to overtime or almost overtime?
It's the playoffs, man. It's so fucking close. I don't know why the regular seasons aren't this close.
I mean, it's got to be the number one sport of all sports to go into extra time.
Yeah. Well, a lot of times the scoring is 2-2. You know, it's not like you're talking about 98-96 where there's so much range of like.
Yeah, that's true, too.
You know?
But even like soccer, even more than soccer, it seems like.
Baseball, that's nine innings instead of three periods. I don't know.
NFL, any of them, it seems like hockey. And, man, every game with these goddamn Blackhawks is close. And Saturday night, you know, I was out. They lost. And you could sense it in that city. You could sense everybody was kind of just bummed a little bit.
Oh, it's a hockey town, huh?
Yeah, Chicago town. Especially.
Sports town, I guess.
You know what? It's a huge sports town. Chicago is
a because they love the Bears. They love the fucking Cubs.
Yep. Bulls.
They love the Bulls, yeah. So I don't know if it's like really.
Blackhawks, they just like sports, beer, and food.
Beer, yeah.
No, they love drinking, they love to eat, and they love to watch sports, and they like to do it all at the same time.
You see any good fights when you were down there? Like street fights?
I saw one that was about to happen, and then nothing happened. It's funny you say, I was walking down the street, and some guy, a Russian guy, pulled out too far in the intersection, and when he's like looking to the left instead of like looking both ways, almost hit this black guy.
Walking or driving?
Yeah, he was walking. No, the black guy's walking. He was like behind me. I'd already crossed the street, and then I hear all this chatter, turn around and look, and he was at the dude's door.
Oh, yeah, he was.
He was, like, about ready to start throwing punches into the car.
I love that when people, like, start smacking the hood and, like, yelling. Yeah. It's like, the guy's not going to get out. I mean, not when you're being like that. He's not going to roll down his window.
He kept saying, get out of the car, motherfucker, get out of the car. And then the other dude was like, you get in the car, bitch. Let's go get tacos. Let's get weird. Let's be buddies.
Let's get
that'd be the great answer when someone's like, dude, get out of the car. It's like, you get in the car, man. Let's talk about this. Let's go somewhere and have let's have a picnic, you bitch.
You fucking meth head.
I know. No, she called us meth heads, you dumbass. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just me. She was mad.
She was mad.
One time I was taking Ari to the airport out, but I'm in the passenger seat, he's driving. And Ari was stoned, so I don't think it was like he wasn't driving aggressively, but she was kind of driving aggressively. And she got super mad at me and Ari because she said we had like cut her off.
Uh-huh.
So she gets in front of us and just stops. And then we had to like at a red light be next to her. We had to go around her because we were going to turn left. So we're next to her.
Yeah, we set the red light next to her. Yeah.
And she rolled down a window and she just called us everything. She called us faggots. She called us both meth heads.
She threw a water bottle at you.
And my window was open like 4 inches. She threw a water bottle, and it went right into those 4 inches of the window and hit me right in the head.
She can't even overhand throw, too. She's really got a sidearm.
Yep, she had a sidearm. It went right into the car, hit me in the head. They can shoot. And I did the only thing I could do to make her mad. I just opened it up and started drinking it. I was like, thanks, bitch. Appreciate this.
She was so angry with her fucking 6-year-old in the back seat.
And she was cursing left and right, and she had a bumper sticker that said Mom of the Year. And she was calling us every name under the fucking sun.
She stole that kid. She probably stole that kid. She's the Mom of the Year.
Totally fucking kidnapped him.
Do you know my new theory about childbearing and stuff? That everyone talks about how they could be a great parent, you know?
Yeah.
That's the reason people do it, unless it just happens. But, like, I'd be a good father, you know? And they meet a woman who's like, I'd be a good mother. And, like, yeah, we should do it. But then that's the problem. That's not the people that are raising the kid. Those are well-rested people making smart decisions.
Right.
Who you have raising the kid is some fucking guy who's gotten 3 hours of sleep the last 6 months because some kid's been waking him up.
Yep.
Yelling and screaming. Like, that's not a good father.
No.
You got no energy and you got no time or patience.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's the guy that's going to take a baby into a nice long bath, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. You ask the guy who has a baby if he has time to raise a kid. He goes, no, I'm too full on time.
Yeah, talk to Ryan Hill. Talk to, you know, Don Carlos. He'll tell you right now. He's had his first baby, and he's like, dude, I don't do anything but not sleep. I go to work. I take care of a baby, and then I cry whenever I have alone time. I just cry in the corner.
Really?
Probably.
I think, like, infancy has got to be the worst stages, you know? I mean, once they start to, like...
Helpless.
Yeah. Once they get to, like, five and shit, you're like, all right, cool. Fucking don't be a dick.
Yeah, once they're, like, 11, 12 months and you can just, like, throw them out in the yard or whatever you do with kids, then you're fine.
Yeah.
6, 7 months old and you just leave it outside, you're good. But it's those first 4 or 5 months where you can't just throw them outside in the yard with the dog. To me... Do you give a fuck about the NHL? I mean, I really want the Blackhawks to win.
I'm rooting for the Blackhawks, too, for sure. Once the Rangers went out, I didn't have any foes anymore. So it was like, because they beat the Caps. So then it's like, you know, I like sports and fucking competition.
It's like, what, 3 times in 6 years if they win it?
Yeah.
That's kind of lame.
What do you mean?
I mean, like, the fact is the same names over and over again. It's like...
Yeah, but if you put together a good team, you put together a good team.
Yeah, they're really stacked.
I mean, if you're a fan of them, you're like, hey, man, we're a dynasty right now. You got to, you know. I mean, how can you be a Yankees fan and a Cowboys fan talk about how it's unfair that the same teams keep winning every year?
Cowboys haven't won in 20 years.
Yeah, but when they were winning, that's exactly what they were doing.
Yeah, it's good management. The same names over and again. But it is nice when you get a Seattle Seahawks that comes in and a Tampa Bay Bucks that comes in. And it's like, oh, cool. Some other teams have a chance once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
It is with baseball. It's the same, like. You know, 7 teams, pretty much.
It really is. It really is. And right now, the Royals are good again, man.
That's great, though. That's great. Everyone loves that.
The small market team.
Here's my thing in baseball. Best team in the AL.
Who? Are you asking me?
Yeah.
I mean, I think the Royals right now.
I disagree. But I can see that.
What is this game? I'm trying to get
Toronto you. Blue Jays. It's
really?
The Toronto Blue Jays.
You think so?
They're playing the best. They're even below 500 right now, I think. Mm. But they're playing the best baseball. They've outscored their opponents by more than anybody in the AL. That's a team that if they continue playing the same way they will, they'll be 20 games over 500.
Mm. Okay.
They just lost some close ones randomly.
Who's your favorite in the National League?
Not my favorite, but that's the team. Yeah, I don't know. The Dodgers are looking great.
They are looking great.
And they're good, dude. They got that payroll.
I believe the Cardinals beat them 3 of 4.
Yeah, I mean, Cardinals are always good. That's another team. Cardinals are always good. Cubs are good. Cubs are good this year.
Are they?
Once, yeah. Cubs are good this year.
Sammy back?
Sammy Sosa is not back. You know how fat he got? Have you seen him?
Fat and white. He became a fat white guy.
Yep, he's a fat white guy. Look him up. Look him up, Frank. Sammy Sosa. He got super fat, and he got like the Michael Jackson disease where you become white and gay and dead.
Oh, whoa. Holy shit, bro.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that crazy?
I don't know if you can see.
Whoa. God, his face looks...
Dude, he looks like the Joker.
It looks like a negative.
It looks like the Joker. Yeah, it looks like the negative. It looks like the Joker. Like if he had a purple, like, you know, like one of those like... purple hats that like Jim Carrey would wear in the mask. Like
what happens when you break 2 million. You just become a white guy.
Well, I would love to fucking find out. I'll tell you that right now.
Oh my God.
Were you looking at him?
Porn.
Yeah, and all the different ones. Yeah, somebody put a Joker mask on him.
Did they really?
Charles Black, the clown, Sammy Sosa. Yeah, there's just like a Yeah, they made him the face paint. They just CGI'd it with green hair and red lipstick around his face. He really does look like a Joker. Damn.
Oh, somebody just tweeted, no, Susquehanna, what you've tweeted at me is a lie. You said that Billy Corbin is on live with Tripoli and Ari and Teeb. He was only live with Tripoli because Tripoli cut us out of the conversation.
Because she's a liar?
I like how he says, like, no, dude, if you guys would have just let me ignore you and just look at my phone the whole time, then I could have figured this out. No, that is not true.
That's not, yeah, it's like, see what, Sam? See what?
Not true at all. See what you did, Ari? See what you did, Ari? Like, all right, did you go to you were talking about going to a Yankees game.
Yeah, I went. It was great. Yankee Day game. I went with this guy who's booking Sam in China, Turner Sparks. He hadn't been there before. Yankees, man, it's great there. It's just great out there.
The new stadium?
Yeah, it was sunny, but also nice. We sat with a bunch of kids for a while, like in a class trip.
No.
They got so into it. You know, these are like 15, 16, 17-year-olds. They were so into it and well-behaved because their teachers were there. And then we moved up, sat in the sun for a little bit. It's just great. The weekday day games. And here's what I realized. The whole country does it. All the baseball teams in the country.
Yeah.
The same Wednesday have weekday day Wednesday.
Correct.
So a month from now, or a month from last week, they're going to be another weekday day game.
Yeah, where everybody plays like 1:05 games,
yeah, exactly.
Or 11:05 in the West Coast or whatever the fuck it is.
Everybody should go. It's empty. It's the best thing. Yep. Move wherever you want to go.
Now, is that new stadium, is it kind of like super fucking Pepsi'd out? Is it like how the fucking Staples Center is where you feel like you're at a goddamn amusement park the whole time?
Not okay. Quite like that, but there's a lot of ads.
Because that's what I like about Dodger Stadium. Like, it feels like you're at a park. But when you go to the Angels Stadium, it feels like, I'm waiting for, like, Mickey Mouse to walk by me and, like, ask to take my picture. And they're like, I must be this tall to use the men's room. You know what I mean? It's like, I feel like I'm at fucking Magic Mountain.
Oh, it's not like that. It's not like that. Yankee Stadium is nice. They made it classic.
Good.
Yeah, no block seats.
Because I like the new stadiums, but I like them when they make them feel like you're at a fucking park.
Camden really changed the game. Camden Yards really changed the game for stadiums. They made their stadium new to look like this old, like real old stadium. And it was like, wow. And then everybody, Cleveland after that, everybody started going like, yeah, that's the model we're going to take.
Yeah. It's
beautiful. And then we're also going to make it like updated and nice, you know? So yeah, there's a warehouse, but we're going to put fucking things in there.
Yeah, that's what I love about Wrigley Field and Dodger Stadium. Like they're older stadiums. I mean, Wrigley Field's fucking 90-something years old. And
yeah.
The only thing older than that is where the Red Sox play, Fenway. Fenway's the oldest stadium.
That's really in the city, too.
That's really how Wrigley Field is. You're just walking around in the city, and then, bam, there's a giant baseball park right in the middle of the city.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's great. It's like all just restaurants and bars all around it. You're just walking around, and then, bam, just, oh, cool, that's where the Cubs play. Holy shit, it's right here in the middle of the town.
That's cool. You know? Yankees is like, I mean, it is in the town, but it's in the Bronx. It's way outside of, like, Manhattan or anything.
Not Dodger Stadium. You got to go way out of your way to get to Dodger Stadium. Yeah. Even though it's, like, just outside. It's just, like, just north of downtown. It's, like, way up at the top of that ravine. It's,
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
It's kinda, there ain't no easy way to get there.
It's always a little farther than you think it'd be, and the traffic starts so bad. You really have to park
the worst.
Like, there's no walking to Dodger Stadium.
Oh, no.
You know what I mean? There's no walking to Anaheim where the Angels play, you know. But, like, you know, Wrigley Field, Fenway, like, a lot of those, you can, like, piss. Hey, man, let's take a cab downtown, and we'll get something to eat, and we'll walk to the game. That's what's cool when you're living, like, in a metropolis.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To me. So, dude, tell everybody what your Frank, listen to this. Ari came up with a stupid idea what he's going to start doing to chicks.
What?
He's going to start banging them, and then he's going to take a stapler.
Staple their vagina shut.
And he's going to, like,
you told me that you want to do that. So you come in them. This is Tebow's idea. You come inside them and then you staple it up shut. And
yep.
Then you end with, tell me if I'm saying this wrong, Tebow.
Uh huh.
Who's fucked now?
Exactly.
Okay.
Who's fucked?
Now who's fucked? That's what it is. Yep. Now who's fucked?
Like 6 or 7 staples. You know what I mean? Really keep your gunk all in or fuck.
But not like regular staples, like industrial strength, like fucking.
Like she can fit off for the staple remover, but it won't feel good.
What would you guys rather have stapled? One staple over your dick hole.
In the dick hole?
Staple, or one or two staples over your butthole.
Oof.
Not in, over.
So you're saying like stapling it shut?
Yeah, close to it.
Like my dick hole. Like it would be stapling my dick hole shut.
I
know.
I think it would just be right above your dick hole, so you could never pee straight. It would come around that every time.
I feel like the butthole I could handle. Is that weird? Is that gayer for saying that?
I mean, no, we were just saying that about you the other day. God, I probably, I feel like that. I feel like there's less nerve endings in your butthole than there are in your dick hole. I feel like that would just be permanent pain. Plus, then if you ever pull the staple out of your dick, now you're just going to be peeing out of a bunch of different holes all over the place. You know what I mean? It's like now you got your regular pee hole and the two side of pee holes. You know what I mean? Now it's going to look like some sort of fountain in Las Vegas every time I got to piss.
You're just a sprinkler.
That's how I knew I had chlamydia.
Really?
Start peeing two directions.
Really?
Yeah. Now, that also happens when you jerk off before you go to sleep, and then the fucking last piece of cum dries right on your tip.
That is true.
It comes out whatever river it can get out. But when it keeps happening, it's like, oh, you have chlamydia. Stop fucking.
Did it hurt?
No.
Like you didn't have like a burning sensation?
It burned really bad. I think in some cases. What'd you say?
It didn't burn when you were peeing?
Nah.
You just went to a doctor because you were pissing two streams at once?
No, that was one of the reasons. And then the other reason was a girl I was dating was like, hey, you gave me chlamydia. And I was like, oh, that's what that is. No wonder I've been peeing two directions.
Mm-hmm. I guess that really is a telltale when other people start calling you and telling you.
A little bit of leakage. I honestly thought I was just getting older. I was like,
this is just what comes with age.
Yeah. This is just a problem that I have. It's just like my fucking snacks are leaking all over the fucking place.
Yeah, snacks.
Are you, do you have the intention of watching these fights on Saturday?
I don't have the intention. I'll be at Bonnaroo.
Oh, are you?
I'm going to be at Bonnaroo fucking partying.
Are you just enjoying it or are you going to be,
No, I'm performing Thursday and Friday.
Oh, sweet.
But there's going to be so many cool comics there, so we're all just going to have a great time.
Who's all going to be there?
Me, Big J, Dan Soder, Natasha, I assume Moshe, but I'm not positive. Jeff Ross, Ralphie May.
Are those two still dating?
I think so.
Okay. I'm just wondering.
Ralphie May, he's going to bring the bus, which is going to be great. Nick Thune, I think.
Oh, that's cool, man.
Hey, I don't want to see it. Bonnaroo.
When are you heading there? Friday?
Comedy Theater.
Saturday? Thursday, I mean?
I'm leaving Thursday, yeah. Okay, Hardwick, Reggie Watts. Reggie, I don't really know that well.
He's funny, though.
Yeah. Funches, Ian Edwards.
Oh, cool.
Oh,
Ron
yeah.
Roller. Yeah. Cameron Esposito is fine. Oh, Mark Norman, that'll be great. Michelle Wolf, that'll be great. April Richardson, wow. Yeah, bam. But that'll be the core group.
Yep.
Me, Big J, Thune, Funches, Natasha, Soder.
Funches.
Norman. Funches, yeah, Funches is going to die in the heat.
Oh, yeah. But he'll be the happiest guy dying in the heat.
Yeah.
He's like, I can't imagine him. There's like a few people.
Not
you just
happy.
Can't imagine being mean or mad. Yeah. Or if he got cut off in traffic. That's okay, buddy.
Yeah.
That's
oh, you must have had somewhere to be.
Yeah, we're both in a hurry, so I hope you get to where you're going.
Thanks, Mr. In a Rush Man.
Yeah, I know.
You are now closer to your destination.
And I'm very happy for you.
Yeah.
I can't imagine him being I'm so happy you were fucking my wife. Because I was fucking her, too. Now maybe we could both share her.
Watching him go up at, 12:30 in the OR and, just, the tired crowd and then kind of, watch them just kind of realize him and just kind of get him, it fucking makes me laugh every time. Because it's just, I don't know. He's just so fucking adorable. You know what I mean?
He is probably the most huggable comic.
Well, there's always sometimes when it's late, there's always those rowdy drunk people and they'll be rowdy during the person set before. But the second Ron Funches comes in, he's just so lovable and you just see these people just stop being rowdy and just start listening.
Yeah,
just,
smile lights
yeah,
up.
Yeah.
What is Moses saying about all this fucking roast?
Yeah, what is Moses saying? What does Moses and Jeff say?
I don't know what Jeff's saying. I know Moses, it's just kind of it sucks, man. It's the worst. I mean, it just.
Are you going with Rel? Are you going to go with Rel?
No. That's the thing. He's not taking any of us. That's the thing. This is just, we didn't, we kind of knew this was going to happen, but it was just, I'm not going to go with Rel. I mean, I roast battle all the way, man. I just help with the show.
You know? Yeah, it's Rel Battle's roast battle.
Yeah, it's the Rel Battle battle. But it's just
I'm on Team Rel.
Are you Team Rel?
Yeah.
Moses is kind of just like, I don't know, it just kind of sucks, man. It's like a really shitty divorce. I mean, he just wants all of us to, you know,
get along.
Yeah, that's
he's like
really
Tommy.
It.
He's like Tommy.
Yeah, the other thing is, like, he's still got a fucking, like, he really wants, he just wants this all just to, all of us just to get along and work together. That's all it was. You know, we're, like, we're supposed to be like a band, you know?
Never happens, though, man. And now with comics, it's too, there's too many egos. The problem with comics is everybody wants to be a lead singer. Nobody's willing to be role players when it comes to it. So short term, these great shows and these great, like, you know, team ups and interactions work, but they never really work good long term because everybody wants to drive the goddamn bus. Because
when the show's good, it's when the wave's clicking. It's when the haters and Earl are just killing it whenever they get tossed. And then it's like, you know, Jeff Ross. And I mean, I've been there when they've been absolutely great shows, even when the battles are terrible and the judges are just fantastic. You know, they just have fun with it. It's just...
Yeah, the judges, even if the battle's terrible, if you have good judges, you have Guy Branum in there shitting on people or some shit that's good, it's like, oh, well, that's a good relief from this was a weak performance. Now this good performance is in between, you know?
Right.
The wave will do something fun, and it's like, all right.
Yeah, and it's just like, I don't know, I think the thing that sucks the most is, like, there's so many people that are putting fucking hard work into it that aren't going to get anything out of it, except maybe some exposure, but it's also just, like, dude, I fucking love doing it, man. It's, like, my favorite thing, and it's just, it sucks.
Yeah, you know what, not doing it at festivals sucks, but it's not the worst thing. I mean, it wouldn't even ever really write at festivals. It wasn't really right at New York Comedy Festival. It wasn't really right at South By.
Yeah, because a lot of it is so inside jokey, and it's so.
But it's also the setup of it. They try to like, okay, we'll put the wave over here, way up the song. It's like, just not. I get it. It's cool to be in a festival. I get that for you guys, but like in terms of like the purity of the show, it's not as good there as it would be in the belly room on a Tuesday.
Yeah, the belly room is the home. I mean, that's just one of those things where it's like it's pure magic in the belly room.
Yeah. It's like eating Chicago deep dish pizza in Austin.
Yeah, the show can travel, but I mean,
you know what I mean? You're like, this is delicious, but it doesn't taste right here. Yeah. I should be eating some like ribs or something. You know what I mean? It's like, it's out of place.
Yeah, man, I just want to keep running just a good, fun show, man. And that's the best part about it. I mean, I don't think it was supposed to be anything as big as it's becoming, but it's just like, just keep running a good show, have fun.
It just sucks when people get stopped and short in money. Like, I want this right now. It's like, dude, there's no money in here. Don't fight over $7.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you'll get some of that shit, too. Where it's like, dude, we made $85 at the door. It's like, who gives
a fuck? I'm selling this product. And you're like, no, don't.
Oh, you know what's funny, Ari? Oh, I just want to congratulate you on being a millionaire.
Thanks.
You know what? I was talking to James. We were talking about some other shit, and he's like, "Yeah, man. Now that Ari's a multimillionaire," I'm like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa! What? What happened? Did he win the lottery?"
Dude, what are you talking about,
dude? He's in a movie. He's got a Comedy Central show. I'm like, dude, Comedy Central pays nothing. Yeah, you would make more money working at Walmart for a year than you would selling a fucking commercial to or a TV show to fucking Comedy Central. Bro, he's killing it. He's got it. He's in the millions. I go, dude, Joe Rogan makes millions.
Millionaire. Like, what are you talking about?
I started arguing with him about it, and then I was like, you know what? Never mind. I'm not going to win this argument.
Oh, congrats, Ari.
You believe Ari is a millionaire, and I will let you.
That's what Renazisi said to Jason Lucas. Because Jason Lucas was like, you know, Ari's doing better. And he's like, yeah, man, Ari makes over $3 million a year. And Jason Lucas was like, what? He was still talking about how he can get back into comedy. He goes, no, he goes, he's been killing it for a while, headlining on the road, over millions. And he's like, that's cool for him.
Really? As he's slowly putting a gun in his fucking mouth?
Yeah, I was like, what'd you tell him when you said you were lying? He goes, I never said I was lying, I just left.
What's up with him? I haven't seen him in a while since.
Delivered his own baby.
Delivered his own baby? That's fucking insane.
It was happening, nowhere to go.
Oh, whoa, wait, what happened?
Are you serious right now? When was this?
He had to be on the phone talking to EMS, like, how to do it.
Oh.
No way, shut up.
That's some real man shit.
Yeah.
Are you dead serious right now?
They weren't getting there. There was crazy traffic or something.
Do you think
so? So he had to pull over on the side of the road? He's in a car?
No, the ambulance couldn't come or something. Or, like, she was crowning. She went into, like, super labor, like, right away. And it was like, oh, we got to do this.
Wow.
I don't know exactly the story. I think maybe her water broke. I don't know exactly. It was happening.
Do you think you could deliver a baby if someone walked you through it?
Yeah, deliver it to hell. Fuck babies.
Well, Ari couldn't deliver a baby because whoever's pumping out his baby's got a lot of staples she's got to worry about first before that kid gets out.
That's a great point.
And that's another reason why you use the stapler, bro. That kid ain't coming out.
Did I ever tell you my theory for the most baller way to have sex?
Oh, I can't wait to hear this.
It's when your wife is...
Strike one.
Yeah. Or when they're giving birth, you fuck that baby back in for a while.
Oh, you let him know. Like a whack-a-mole with your dick?
Yeah. Popping it back in as it's coming out. You know, maybe fucking the baby has to go around you. That could be too. But fucking while she's giving birth, that's the most baller way.
Dude, I like what you're saying, and I hear where you're going with it. Let me put a little salt on your steak a little bit.
Staple it shut afterwards?
Hang on. That's the parsley after what I'm about to say.
Because now you can see something, bitch.
I love the sound of that. No. You are fucking the kid back in. While you're getting a blowjob from the kid. Like, and then now it's like a turducken.
Yeah, it's like a sexual, like, turducken.
And then the stapler, bro. And then now who's really fucked? All of you are fucked. Right?
Yeah. Frank, have you broken up with your girlfriend yet?
No, man. Still,
dude, I don't think they're ever breaking up. These two are like so super happy together and shit.
She just got into Pepperdine.
Oh, dude.
Really?
Cool. Yeah.
What's she studying?
Psychology. She's going to start getting in the process of becoming a clinical psychologist.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's what Duncan was going to go to Pepperdine for.
Oh, I remember that when he was having a meltdown over, what's her name,
Mary
breaking up with him?
Mary Lynn. She's like, you did something with your life. He was going to go to Pepperdine and become a psychologist to win her back.
To become a psychologist to win her back.
Oh, I got to get my life. I got to do a real thing, man. It's like, oh, dude, it's over.
Yeah.
You can't change who you are.
The last thing you need is a fucking $50,000 a year fucking bill from a university to try to win back some chick that's already...
That's while he was driving his fucking too expensive car he couldn't afford to impress her.
What was the car?
It was what he has now, but now he can afford it.
Nice.
It was that Mini Cooper. Not Mini Cooper.
No, he has... It was a new one back then. This is his second Mini Cooper, I think.
Oh, yeah. This is one he can now afford.
Yeah, yeah. But he had one before then, yeah.
It's only $380 a month. I'm like, dude, you're broke. Yeah, what are you talking about?
You make $200 a month.
Well, I had to get a new car. I'm like, you didn't have to get a car made by BMW.
Yeah, the nicest new car.
Yeah, and you didn't have to get a new car. You just had to get a different car.
No, he had to get the car that she probably thought was cute.
Yeah, exactly.
Those are cute. Oh, I love that car right there.
I did the same shit. I bought my Honda for Natasha.
Well, I was just going to say, what's the dumbest shit you've ever done to, like, try to impress a chick?
Yeah. I wrote love letters.
Oh, God. Wouldn't you love to burn every one of those you would ever find?
Post-breakup.
Oh, were you just begging for them to come back?
Trying to get them, but it's not the way to do it. Just trying. Oh.
I have love letters from chicks that I still hold on to. I just want to post them when they get married. Like, remember this?
Wow.
That'd be brutal. Yeah, man. Gross. Ugh. Yeah, I remember when Duncan had that fucking car. And I remember when he was going to go to Pepperdine. So your chick's going to Pepperdine. What is it? Is that going to make... Do you think she's going to, like, get her degree, get her shit together, and then are you worried?
Yeah. Frank.
Are you worried, Frank, that she's going to get her shit together and then you're going to...
I was thinking about that, but nah, man. It was because it's like the reason I'm not worried is because, like, when we first started dating before I moved to Los Angeles, and, like, it was like 6 months in, I, like, sat down and was like, listen, I want to do this and I'm going to move. So if you want to keep doing this, that's cool. But stand-up's going to be the one thing that I want to do for the rest of my life. And that has to become first. And I was like, and if you still want to be on this ride, then yeah, let's do it. She was like, all right, let's do it. And for like a solid year, she'd come up every weekend and stuff. And now she actually got promoted at The Gap, so like I can actually quit my day job and just work at the store and then do stand up. So it's working out.
And what do you think? What do you think is going to happen when she actually becomes? How does that relate to her being successful in psychology?
When she gets successful in psychology, I mean, I honestly think we're probably gonna get married in like 2 years.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's like, I mean, she's down, dude. She's really supportive. She's down for me doing all this stuff. And like, even if she gets like.
You can just smoke weed during your mouth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, dude, we smoke weed all the time. That's like, she's like my best friend. Oh, we probably will do that. She wants to have blunts as wedding, not invitations, but the...
Parting gifts?
Like, parting gifts. She wants to have just a bunch of weed everywhere.
Yeah, you should have people throw joints at you when you walk out instead of rice.
Yeah, there should be. You should have a joint at every place, Matt. And so it's like whoever smokes, whoever doesn't, give her the rest of your table. Yeah. But just like, here's a joint for everybody. Rolled, go out.
Yeah. She doesn't want any fucking kids there. She just wants
you wheel me into your wedding reception like Hannibal Lecter.
Oh, absolutely, bro.
Just on a gurney with a mask over my face so I can't do anything.
She got a lot of hot cousins, Steve.
Really?
Yeah, bro.
How old are they? Give me a number that rhymes with 16.
Oh,
how old are they?
14? No, but
in 2 years, that'll be perfect.
You're so creepy.
It's legal in Canada.
Is it?
Is it really 16 is legal in Canada?
I got too excited for that.
I think so. I'm pretty sure.
Dude, who wants to be? Well, you're younger, though, Frank. I have no business banging a 16-year-old.
I'm 26. I still have no business.
Yeah, that's true. All right. Would you bang a 16-year-old? Why are you moving your head up and down but not saying anything out loud legally?
I would absolutely fuck a 16-year-old.
Wow, what's the? I just don't see the attraction to it.
I mean, it depends who it is. If she looks like Frank, then I'm not going to.
Oh, okay.
I mean, that's the only thing that would get me to do it.
Depends what she looks like. It depends what she looks like. But if she looked good looking and it was legal and she was consenting, then fuck yeah.
I guess.
If all the dominoes lined up.
I mean, I'd go 12 or 11.
Oh, jeez.
No, I wouldn't go 12 or 11, but I would do 16. If she didn't too much like a ditzy girl.
Anyone under 4'3"? Like, just, like, hot, just, like, is there, like, a height requirement for you? Like, because I've seen...
5'3".
I saw a chick who had to have been, like, 4 foot tall, and she had, like, she just looked like a really hot chick just shrink down.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, she had to have been, she was like a midget proportion.
I got no problem with that.
Yeah, set it up, Frank.
All right, cool. Give her a call.
Absolutely, I'm in, yeah.
What if she's, like, 7 foot?
Ooh.
Like, yeah, of course, right? Just for the story, at least.
Just for the story. What about someone who's, like, 5'11"? Not 7 foot, but like 5'11".
Tall, 100%. That's a no-brainer. I mean, you and I are tall guys, too. We're kind of tall. What are you, 6? How old are you, 6'5" in heels? How tall are you?
In heels, I'm probably 6'5".
Yeah. See, me too. What about Bruce Jenner as a female?
I don't know, man. It's like, it's the same shit before. It's like, it's another reality show star doing something. Like,
I'm saying, would you bang him?
Oh. From those pictures in Variety.
Yeah.
That's, she seems like, who's the girl from Bull Durham, the older one?
The blondie?
Jessica Lange?
Susan Sarandon.
Yeah. Susan Sarandon.
She looked like that. She looked like that to me.
Susan Sarandon, I think, is kind of attractive for something 70.
Shit.
Oh, yeah. Every picture of him or her, whatever you say about her, is very photoshopped.
I don't like how she's becoming like a hero, but it's like, what did you do other than the same shit everyone else has been doing that we've already been okay with?
Yeah, you haven't, like, thwarted off or, like...
It's like, well, I'm a public figure. It's like doing nothing. This won't affect your life in any way other than, like...
Did a photo spread dressed in drag. So have fucking...
You're getting a reality show out of this. Like, I don't understand what the hero is.
You're as much of a hero as RuPaul is.
Yeah, a hero. Go to fucking work at your fucking mining job the next day. Now as a woman.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a fucking hero. Stand up.
Yeah, someone made a good point. There was someone in the Midwest, coming to work in drag or as being a transgender, like that person working at Burger King, like that's the, like, it's not going to make it any easier for them. Well, it's supposed to be, but it's like,
no, it won't. Yeah. Let's just call that guy Bruce Jenner.
Yeah.
Hey, Bruce Jenner, go run in your dress and get me them fries.
Yeah. What's up with Kim Kardashian? Yeah. It's like, I don't know, who gives a fuck. I mean, the fact that is news every day. And then it's like, there's all kinds of crazy shit happening in the world, but everywhere you look, this is what we're talking about.
Did you hear about Akon?
No, what happened to Akon?
Oh, no,
who's Akon?
He's a rapper, but he started, like, a foundation for, like, to teach people and to start making solar energy stuff in Africa. So he made, like, a huge, like, foundation. Yeah, so they're teaching people how to make and install, like, solar panels and stuff down there.
Wait, that's amazing.
Yeah. So, like, he's fucking, like, teaching kids, and, like, they're, like, making it so they're trying to make it a little more energy efficient down there. And and that happened around the same time as the Caitlyn Jenner stuff, and that, and, like, of the two articles.
It's dwarfed,
yeah.
It's not a story. It's not a story.
No.
If the president did it, maybe, but it's like, I don't know, Chelsea Manning did it in prison.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, who gives a shit?
I don't remember her old first name.
Did you guys see Oh, I'm sorry. Did you guys see the video of the oh, I'll check it out.
Bradley
Manning.
Yeah. That's right. To see what video?
The cops in Texas breaking up that pool party.
Yeah, dude. Everyone's making a big deal about that. Did you see the video of the fight that was going down before the cops showed up?
No, what was that?
There's a video of these three, like, you know, I think they're like teenage.
I think two
of them were black and one of them was white, and they were fighting these two moms.
Yeah.
Now, all these people weren't invited. I don't care if you're black or you're white or whatever. If there is a party at a private place and the kids are climbing over the fences with, like, beers and pot, it's like, I'm calling the cops. If I'm a parent.
The stories are like, too many black people, so the cops had to break it up. It's like,
no.
That's terrible if that's the way it happened. But you're saying there was a fight for?
Yeah, but that's not the way it happened. The way it happened was they had this party for this graduation, and all these people that live in the apartment complex are there. And then just like every other party in high school, a shitload of people start crashing that aren't invited. And the security was trying to keep them out. So they were climbing over a fence to get into the back entrance of the pool with like beer cans, and they were like being rude to the parents that were throwing this party. So they called the cops.
Yeah.
So that's really what happened. That's fine. I'm fine with that. But stop saying like, oh, bunch of black people show up to a party and the cops show up with their guns out. That's not what happened.
Oh, well.
That's the thing. Now that hurts the cause. It's like, look at this video. It's like, yeah, it's inflammatory, but we're all such a rush to judge.
Yeah.
And like, those cops have already been suspended, you know?
Yeah, I wish cops would start doing more shitty things to white people so it will just be even.
Just one cop walks out, just shoots a white kid, and he's like, all right, guys, we're good.
Every time it happens, if the person happens to be black, it's never about – I mean, sometimes it is. Sometimes it is a racially charged
– Sometimes, but it's like when you put the headline, it's so leading. You're only going to see is that. I saw a Facebook post of, like, Missouri elects their first black mayor.
Oh, I saw that.
And all these cops, like, resigned and all these whatever, and they're like, it's just racism. All these people resigned. And then you look more at the story, and you're like – the old mayor was there for 37 years.
Yeah, he had worked with all of them forever.
So maybe they're just done now with him. Or in solidarity, just like, we're going to go with you. It's like, there's nothing about that. It's a black story unless you're saying in the headline, it's a black thing.
Yep. I don't know. And that's like such a new thing in the last like 10 years where it's like 8 years, 6 years. Like Facebook, since Facebook and Twitter and all this, all these videos get posted. And if any of them are anything but white, it's because of racism.
Yeah. It's like you guys are the only ones seeing race still. What I like doing right now on YouTube and Facebook and shit, not YouTube, just Facebook, is whenever they post a video of cops fucking up with anything other than black people, I just write Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
You know, if it's like shoot some unarmed white guy and wherever, I just write Black Lives Matter.
Well, the funny thing is like, I try to be impartial. I mean, I know I do make a lot of racist jokes and sexist jokes and all this kind of shit, but, you know, everybody knows that we're just joking on this show. So when I watch these kind of videos, the first thing that I see, you know, when I see a cop holding some chick down in a bikini or do whatever the fuck is going on in this, I don't see if she's black or white or anything. In my head goes, well, that's a cop. He is, you know, trying to restrain her for some reason. What must have happened right before this that this cop is holding her down like that?
Yeah.
You know, and then I'd look at the title of the article of like, oh, cop, you know, attacks some black lady only because she's black. And I'm like, is that really what happened? I mean, whoever posted that article, were they there?
Yeah. But when I saw it, I was just like, I mean, come on, man. It's just a 14-year-old black chick. Like, I get it. Black
kids are scary. It was excessive force. It seemed like excessive force.
Black kids are scary, but they're not.
A girl that's in her bikini that's 15, there's no reason you need to be standing on her throat.
Yeah, with your gun.
Right. That's my thing. It's like,
I don't care what color you are. I don't care about any of that shit.
In your regular, like, apprehending someone, they're being way too violent.
Yeah.
They're shoving face into cement, and it's like.
If I was a cop, they should just be macing the shit out of people. It should be just pepper spray everywhere. Don't grab people by the throats. Don't pull your gun out. Just blind these people for the next hour of their life.
Yeah, because then it just – I mean, you can wash mace off. You can't wash off a bullet wound.
Yeah, and you can't run. You're not going to do anything if you get mace. I mean, have you ever been pepper sprayed?
No.
It's not good at all.
We do have to wrap it up soon, guys.
Oh, yeah, let's wrap it up, guys. All right, what do you got? You're going to be at Bonnaroo or some shit?
Yeah, Bonnaroo. I got a storytell show June 30th at the Stand.
Nice.
I'm just living life, enjoying the summer.
Dude, live life, enjoy the summer. I'll be at the Chicago Laugh Factory at the end of the month.
Has it gotten warmer there now?
What's that?
Has it gotten warmer there finally?
Yeah, it's been nice. It's starting to rain a lot, but it's like been 70s and 80s now.
Great. Love it. Love the summer. Kill yourself.
Bro. It's the best. It's the best. It's the best. Frank, roast battle?
Yep.
Wait, where are you going to be, Sebo?
Chicago Laugh Factory, end of the month.
Are you coming back? Why do you say that's your last time in Chicago?
July 7th, I'll be back.
Yay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's going to be good to have you back, man.
Yep. So I think that's going to be my last show in the Midwest is at the end of June.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah. When are you coming back? Because you got some farting to do.
October, we're filming the next season of my show.
Yeah.
She'll be back in July and September. What are you going to do, Airbnb?
I don't know exactly what I'm going to do. I might just stay for the week. I might stay for longer. I'm not really sure.
Right.
I came before. I don't know.
I didn't stay for a while. We never get to see you anymore.
No, I'm going right from there to Australia.
Oh, nice. When are you going to Australia?
October, like, 13th, 14th, something like that.
You're just going down there for, like, a couple weeks?
Yeah, 2 weeks, then Maui Comedy Festival, and then back to New York.
Oh, nice. Yeah, did stay in L.A. the whole time, then.
Instead of going to Maui in Australia?
No. And, like, wait, when you Maui come back out the tape, don't go back to New York. Go from L.A. to there.
Yeah. All right. Deal.
All right, guys. Love you. Consider it sucked. Caveman Coffee, BetDSI.com. And use the Amazon link on the Punch Drunk website. Go to PunchDrunkSports.com. Write articles. Tell us that you hate us. Tell us that you love us.
Yeah.
Suck it.
All right, guys. Sweet.
Wish someone would do a statistical breakdown of the chances Tripoli had against me in 3-minute rounds.
I'll work on that.
I mean, feel free to do that.
If somebody wants to write that article, like, here's how this fight's going to go.
Somebody write that article and kickstart some drama for this. Ooh. All you got to do, now I promise you one thing. There's no way Tripoli is listening to this, what we're talking about right now. If he listens to this episode, he is going to listen up until his interview,
and then
he says he has to leave, and then he presses stop on listening. So any of this, he won't hear.
Sure.
Everybody start writing articles, do things to light Sam's fire, and say that he could never beat Ari. That'll be the best way to get this fight to happen.
Yeah, it would.
It really would work, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
People write articles, but make sure you write the articles that say, I don't think Tripoli has any chance in hell. And that's really...
Or if you're writing an article about the finals,
mm-hmm.
and holding Steph Curry under 10 points, you're like, I mean, Sam has a better chance of beating Ari than...
exactly.
Scoring less than 10 points. It's still like that.
Exactly. Right. All right, buddy. Good talking to you guys. I'll see you later.
Good talk, guys. See you next Tuesday.
All right. See you.